Hello, this is William Fink. It's Monday, August 9th, 2010. This is the Chris DeGhenio Open Forum. I hope we have some talkers tonight because I don't have a program. I would like to play a couple of minutes of Clayton Douglas. Clayton Douglas evidently wants to beat me up, and he's announcing it on his blog talk program. He wants to beat me up because he's blaming me for Eli James's breaking his relationship with him. Eli broke his relationship with Clayton Douglas after Clayton Douglas showed up in several venues, one of them being a Subi Sisters program a couple of weeks ago, and denouncing Christian identity and claiming that Christian identity precepts came from the Talmud. All the while, he was with Eli, and Eli was appearing on his program once a week. Douglas was claiming to be Christian identity. My personal opinion is that Clayton Douglas didn't know what Christian identity was. He still don't know what Christian identity is. He still doesn't truly understand our beliefs. He's probably never read the Bible. I believe, personally, and I have reason to believe this, that he started calling himself Christian identity, hoping to sell books and the other paraphernalia that he has on his website. When Christian identity people didn't buy his garbage, because it really has nothing to do with Christianity, most of it, or Christian identity, well, then he started bad-mouthing Christian identity because he wasn't making any money. Because Clay Douglas does everything he does, apparently, to feed his belly. Here's the remarks Douglas had concerning me last week. This is from his show number 115-6095, available on his website and on Blog Talk Radio.
Identity is coming after me. William Fink, my guest, Eli James, has been on my show on Wednesdays forever. He's just dropped off the last two Wednesdays. Because he's getting heat, because William Fink, who does the show, is vowed to destroy me. Now, Israel's coming after me. Now, Christian identity's coming after me. Why? Why? Oh, could it be that I finally figured it out? I finally figured it out that, you know, the Christian identity line? Again, here's the 90% of the truth. We probably are the Israelis. We didn't spring up out of Germany. We came from the Middle East. We came from Iraq. We came from that area there. We were the slaves. We were the prisoners, and we got away. We escaped, and we did what God told us to do. We went out and did everything. We passed the word of the Bible on. We were the Christians. And I think Eli is a good man. I think he's a good man. He wrote a book with me, but then he dropped out and didn't want to have anything to do with the book. He gave me all the rights. Didn't want to be associated with me. Why? Because I was saying, we are legalized pot. We are legalized marijuana. He's being pushed by his followers. Oh, Clay's a thugger. He's a thugger. He's probably smoking methamphetamine. He's probably snorting methamphetamine. He's probably using cocaine. He's probably using heroin. You know, right? No, because he wants to legalize pot. No. Matter of fact, there was just an article in Canada that the Canadians are scared to death. The Canadians are scared to death that California is going to legalize marijuana, and that's going to cut off billions of dollars that they're making on importing the smuggling of the marijuana into this country. Billions of dollars. We're threatening a billion-dollar market by legalizing it, by not putting our citizens in jail for it, and Christian identity, William Fink, who I hope I get to see sometime because I really would like to slap the hell out of him. Yeah, it'd be worth doing a little bit of time in the county jail. Yeah. The marijuana was the first war, the war on hemp. Hemp, marijuana, two different things. But it's the same plan.
Well, there we have it. Clay Douglas wants to beat me up, and he's blaming me for evidently for losing the marijuana battle or I don't even take a position on marijuana anywhere publicly or in my writing. And I never vowed to destroy Clayton Douglas. I actually just told him that I was going to expose him because he came out in some emails and some articles as a universalist and accusing Christian Identists of being racists and evil people. So Douglas didn't really understand identity in the first place before he stuck his foot in the water. Now, I don't know if that's Eli's fault or not. I never really listened to Eli's programs with Douglas. I know that Eli is, in public forums, he's a little, I don't want to say soft on the race issue, but he avoids some of the hardcore dialect, that's for sure. But I'm sure that Douglas had his opportunity to understand what Christian Identity was before he took the label upon himself. And as for his threats to beat me up, my personal opinion is that if he ever saw me, he'd probably poop his panties. And he would change his attitude real quick. But that's aside the point. He's in Arizona and I'm in New York. And I don't think he's ever going to get the opportunity to poop. He'll have to go poop his panties somewhere else. Maybe as he's getting overrun by the Mexicans he loves so much. That would be my thoughts on the issue. Hello, Victor. How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you? Oh, he's right. A real tough guy, isn't he?
Well, yeah, he is. Yeah, you know, when you hang out with squat monsters and Hell's Angels crackheads all your life, I guess you could think you're tough because you weigh 250 pounds. And I made the remark to somebody the other day that my 250 pounds comes with a 37-inch waist. And I'm sure... Douglas is probably all in his waist because he's only an old drunk and he's an old drunk tough guy with a big mouth. That's the way I sum him up. But it doesn't matter. I sincerely believe that he started advertising that he was Christian Identity because he was interested in his belly. And he sure as hell doesn't know anything about the Bible or about history. He only recycled some of the vague generalities that Eli's told him over the months, and that's about all he knows.
Just listening to that little clip there, he's got some serious disassociation going on in his thought patterns because he's bouncing back and forth between what a horrible person you are and how Canada's going to get screwed on their pot trade. And
yeah,
I'm not sure if he was trying to make a connection between you two or what, but... I think the guy was just rambling, so I wouldn't take him too seriously.
No, I don't think anybody should take him seriously. That's the problem. Some people do take him seriously. I don't think anyone should. Yeah, that's absolutely crazy.
I hadn't heard of the guy until a few nights ago. I know nothing about him.
Well, Clayton Douglas, he had this Free American News magazine for many years. Yeah, you know, beating the Patriot Trail. The Patriotard Trail, as Marty Lindstedt likes to say. And he was a minor correspondent for the old Spotlight for a little bit, right? And he did this series of articles really bashing the Apostle Paul back in 2000, 2001, around there, 2002. And those articles make up about two-thirds of the paper on my site, William Fink versus the Paul Bashers. In the later two-thirds of that series, like 120 pages I spent addressing Clayton Douglas's Paul Bashing articles. However, yeah, you know, I didn't ever expect to run into Clayton Douglas, even getting out of prison, right? And I didn't until about 4 or 5 months ago when I was on a program on a Sunday afternoon on Eli's program. I wasn't on the program. I was in the chat as a spectator, and Clayton Douglas wanders in. So I could never back down from a challenge, right? And I jumped on his ass right away and confronted him about being a Paul Basher. So it ended up that they got kind of reticent towards the end. John Waterman actually jumped into that debate, you know, that argument, and I blew up Eli's whole chat, and John Waterman jumped in on Douglas's side, and I went back and forth with them for about an hour. And finally, they got kind of reticent, and Douglas invited me on his program to discuss Paul. Well, I get on his program, and what I end up discussing in the first program is a whole identity background, a background of Christian identity beliefs and an overview, sort of like I did with the Subi sisters.
Right.
And then the second program Douglas had me on, I thought we'd get more into Paul and what was wrong with his articles, but he kind of skirted the Bible issues through the whole program, and we really didn't talk much at all about anything that mattered. That's the way I look at it. And I kind of got the impression that Douglas didn't know what to talk to me about. That was my impression anyway. So I never did a third program with him. I offended some of the people in his chat room because they're Negroes. He has some Negro listeners who were very offended by some of my rhetoric on the program. And I never got invited back, but I really didn't care one way or the other. Now Douglas has come out. John Kaminsky put out an article bashing white racists and telling us about how badly we need these other races in order to fight against the international bankers, right? That's Kaminsky put out this article, and Douglas signed on to it. He took Kaminsky's article, he took his own masthead, put it at the top, and retitled it Douglas and Kaminsky. But it's all Kaminsky's article. And I got a copy of it on my forum. But after I put a copy of it on the forum, I actually found Kaminsky's original on his website. So I'm going to, when I get the chance, it's not a priority, but when I get the chance, I'm going to write something up addressing Douglas and Kaminsky, but especially Douglas's duplicity. Because he's, he just took somebody else's article and put his name on it, like he contributed to it or something. Now, as for Kaminsky's article, it really does bash whites who are racially aware. And Kaminsky, I don't trust him anyway, because his email address is pseudoskylax@gmail.com. Or it might be hotmail.com or yahoo.com, but it's pseudoskylax. PSEUDOSKYLAX. And a lot of people would just gloss over that and not know what it means. It means lying dog. So his own email address that he took is it's two Greek words that mean lying dog. Well, why would you be in the truth movement with an email address that meant lying dog?
So let's get this straight. He's rabidly anti-Pauline. He hangs out with niggers. No, possible way this guy could be CI.
And he hates racists. Yes.
And he hates racists. There's no way the guy can be CI.
He's steadily proclaimed himself to be CI, and I believe it's only because he wants to try to sell books to CI people. So we talked Eli into doing this book with him that Eli really only contributed a couple of chapters to. And got his name with Eli so that he could sell books and make money off CI people.
Oh, and he's that, a that's the only on top of that.
That's what I believe, yes. That's my opinion. And it's not going to change, whether he tries to beat me up or not.
Sounds like a real piece of work.
Yeah, that's Clay Douglas. So I had to play that. I had to have some kind of response to it, to his crap, because I'm not going to... I hate to give him the time of day, but I'm not going to stand back from anybody, you know?
No, you can't afford to these days. Listen, there's a guy here in my town that said for 2 years he's going to kick my butt. And he drives right by my house every day. Okay, so people who say they're going to do something like that never are.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't worry about it if you tried. If that guy lived in my town, I'd put a sign up on my front lawn. Here I am, you know? I be's here. How about that one? Maybe you'll understand that one.
Clayton Douglas. He sounds like a lawyer, to tell the truth. Sounds like a lawyer's name.
He's really a biker, is where he's coming from. And
a biker named Clayton?
Yes. And he's actually, all the bikers I met in prison, I wasn't impressed by any one of them. I'm being honest. They were all in bed with the Negroes and the Mexicans if they could make a buck. That's all they ever cared about. All the bikers are just hedonists. They're not. Even the Hell's Angels. I knew a Hell's Angel. His daughter was married to a Jew, and his son was dating Puerto Ricans, and it didn't faze him one bit.
Yeah, man, I got a cousin that's a Hell's Angel. He's out of prison. He's got the AB tattoo on his hand and all that, and he's a freaking Wigger through and through. So,
Bill. Hello, Bill.
Hello,
Victor.
Bruce.
This is Bruce. Oh, you know, I'd like to also add about this John Kaminsky clown, that he ascribes the very foundation of Yahshua Christ, of Christianity, the very foundation of it, as being Jew-inspired. So just a warning there, too, that he follows in that, you know, spirit of deception.
Anybody whose email address, who's supposed to be in the truth movement, as they call it, and whose email address is lyingdog at hotmail.com or Yahoo, whatever it is, which is what pseudo-skylax means in Greek. And anybody with an email like that that's supposed to be in the truth movement, he's just poking fun at the truth movement. That's what the Jews love to do.
Yep.
They love to brazenly get right in your face and deceive you and fly flags that they're doing it as they're bending you over to the pool table. I mean, that's the way it is.
Yeah.
And Kaminsky is basically advertising that he's a lying dog spreading in so-called information about truth. And he's just another, I would bet he's just another Mossad operative. That's the only thing that makes sense to me when I look at him.
Yeah, I think that's the case.
He's just another professional Jew misinformer.
He is. He's not a very good one.
Well, I mean, that they're all, it's like the same 300-400 people that circulate each other's emails to each other. And it never gets out of that bubble. Yeah, you know, and world changer. I've had words with him. I like to call him turd changer. And pseudo skywax. And that there's five or six others that are really. Tracy Poster calls himself a scientist. And he's a 9/11 truther, supposedly. There's a whole long list of them. And they're all just full of crap. And basically all they do is circulate the same rumors amongst each other, and it never really leaves that group because they're always infighting with each other and arguing back and forth. And I think that they're all purposely, that they're probably half of them are working for the enemy, and they're all a purposeful distraction.
Okay, Clayton and Douglas, this was the guy I looked at a photograph of the other night. I said he looked like he was part Indian.
Yes.
Part TP.
Yeah, that was his recording. That was from his blog talk show last Thursday, I think. Or Friday.
Yeah, the last time Clayton spoke with me, he threw the FU bomb at me, and so there's no sense talking with folks that are... You know,
no, he's a vulgar and I mean, I'm kind of vulgar and profane, too, but he's just horrible, and he has nothing to contribute. He has nothing to contribute to anybody. He has nothing edifying about him at all in any of his work. But a lot of people like him. Because he gets on the radio on Blog Talk and he rants about the government and he rants about the international bankers and he makes himself really look right wing. He's actually pretty left wing.
Sounds like a serpent trying to creep his way in the CIA movement.
Well, yeah, but I think it's not to corrupt it. It's just to make money off it and fill his gut. That's my personal opinion. He's always ranting. People aren't buying my books. People aren't doing this. People aren't doing that. Nobody donates to me. Nobody does this. Nobody does that. The typical Jew.
It reminds me of those idol makers that were upset with Paul for bringing in the good message of Yahshua Christ to, because they couldn't sell their idols anymore.
well, yeah, right. Exactly. He's Demetrius the silversmith, that was, all over again.
Clayton the hemp pusher.
Well, Bob in CA, he's not here tonight, but maybe he'll be here later. He just sent me this article from News Cottage. Obama loses control of mestizos in Oregon. America becomes one big marijuana field. What do you think the Mexicans are going to do? If they get control of any land, they're going to grow pot. Clayton Douglas, that's why Clayton Douglas loves him. Unlike domestic pot operations of years past, many of the plantations now growing on federal land are operated by Mexican drug trafficking organizations who are well-financed and well-armed. And that's from a sheriff, allegedly. The longer it goes on, the harder it will be for us to overcome. Winters told Walden that they are better funded than my... It looks like I got page two of this article, right? The way it's written. But it looks like... It's right under the headline, so I think they forgot to paste some text in or something. But basically, that they're saying that the Bureau of Land Management land out west is just littered with marijuana fields. That's the contention, and it's pretty funny. Clay Douglas Heaven. Now that's what he really is, Victor. He's a left wing pot smoking hippie, hippie biker. Here's the link. So what else is going on? If anybody wants to talk, just right-click on your own name and choose Request Talk Power from the menu, and I'll turn your microphone on. Hello, Muniker.
I think Muniker said he had mic problems tonight. He's just on the speaker.
Yeah, well, he had the Request to Talk flag up there, and...
Did he? Okay. Looking in the chat what he said.
Yeah, well, I'll just take it back until he indicates to me that he wants to talk again, just in case he screwed up. Hello, Don.
Hey. Hi, Bill. Hey, is any of you people following that Rings of Cedar? There's apparently like a 10 million people that have bought in this series of books, and they're all fleeing to the wilderness. Google the Rings of Cedar by Anastasia. About this guy that went on this river raft, a river journey, and he met her for 3 days and came back and wrote 9 books, and now there's hundreds of thousands of people just dropping everything and moving to the woods. Has anybody else heard of that? Or?
You know what? Yeah, you know, with this sexy blonde on the cover, it kind of sounds to me like one of those false god movements, you know? I'm being honest with you.
What's the name of it again?
Rings of Cedar. Anastasia. Rings of Cedar. And well, apparently, when I read the 11 pages underneath, when you Google it, they talked a lot about cedar tree and how biblically it was, you know, I don't know the whole details, but supposed to be some kind of magic in there. And I was just wondering if anybody else has heard that.
No, I just bought a
first for me.
I just bought a cedar box a couple of days ago because I love the smell of cedar, but other than that, I'm not, you know, looking for some magic.
I was looking at some cedars today.
looking at the front of the book, it looks kind of new age.
Oh, this is definitely new age. Basically, these books make all the other books I've ever read look to date look like a complete waste of time. Rafal in Australia.
Wait a minute, say that again?
Somebody named Rafal in Australia said, basically, these books make all the other books I've read to date look like a complete waste of time. I guess he read the Harry Potter series or something. And Eli Weasel. I'm making a joke, right? It seems to be a real New Age thing to me. I'm being honest with you. And it seems to be a false god thing. There might be some interest in the cedar. Yeah, you know, if you want to find that out, that's a perfectly natural pursuit.
Yeah, well, these people, tribal people in the Siberian wilderness, that these explorers went up a river and found this tribe, the Vedic something or other, and they're very, very religious. They're very spiritual. I don't know if Anastasia was human or what. I don't know. I haven't read the books, but
I'm going to be honest with you. The more I read about this, the less I like it, because it's all New Age. That New Age, false messiah propaganda, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, there might... there's a whole lot of goodness that can be found in natural substances. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to condemn that by any means. Yeah, you know, like we were talking before about the certain oils, certain natural oils that we don't have, and things like that, spices and herbs and things like that. That are cures for certain ailments, or that are preventatives and a good part of our diet. I have a cousin that sells a lot of those essential oils. And she told me about lavender oil as a bug repellent. And I scoffed at her at first, and she sent me a bottle, and it works. Every time I went out in the garden without it, I got bit up. When I put it on and went out in the garden, I didn't get bit up. And it seems to be a pretty good natural bug repellent. But it stinks. I mean, when you put it on you, it stinks. It smells like you're wearing women's perfume because it's lavender oil, and it really does kind of smell like some kind of flowery substance. But it works in the garden, I'm telling you.
Yeah, I think cedar oil also is a good insect repellent.
There's a good purpose for a lot of those oils. But this website, this whole thing built based around this cedar, I mean, I'm going to read two paragraphs here. Discovered by an Ob River trader in 1995, Anastasia lives deep in the remote Siberian wilderness and is thought to be a surviving member of an ancient Vedic civilization. That's straight New Age garbage, whose extraordinary powers and knowledge far exceed anything known today. Well, what's she doing wandering Siberia? Born in 1969 to parents who died in a forest accident when she was just a baby, she has survived for the most part without warm clothes, food, cultivation, or man-made shelter by eating fruits, nuts, berries, and mushrooms brought to her by wild animals, which she lives with in peaceful harmony. That has every ring to these tree-hugging New Age freaks. That it sounds like a tree-hugging New Age freak fantasy. That's what it sounds like to me. I mean, I would just be very careful about this, Don. I'm being honest.
Yeah.
I would be very careful about
it. Yeah, we're living out here in the woods. I want to go deeper in the woods, but...
Oh, yeah, I don't blame you for one bit, believe me.
I'm plugging from the beast.
I'd like to be right there with you.
Yeah, except for our economy here is totally, totally shot. When I say that, it's like there's absolutely no money. Our feed bill on our farm here is, you know, I can buy chickens at the grocery store for $4. Feed is just gone through. Can't take it anymore.
Yeah, it's crazy. The Jews have us coming and going. They have every avenue of survival choked off so that they collect their stipend from just about every exchange.
And that's what I posted today on the forum over there was that little video with that little circle with a U where they're taking a tax on us. I didn't know that.
Well, right, the kosher tax, yes. But there's some excellent pamphlets on that were put out by the Christian Defense League, I think, the CDL in Boring, Oregon, maybe 20, 30 years ago. I had some of them at one time in prison, but I don't have them anymore.
We're in trouble.
Well, yes, we are in trouble, but we've been in trouble. I mean, we've been headed down this road for a long time. It's getting worse and worse. Our race is being entirely cut out of its own substance. But that's what the Bible tells us would happen. That we would work for nothing and put our money into a bag filled with holes. What's going on is that as a matter of biblical prophecy, and it's because of our disobedience. It's all the curses of disobedience that we find in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, the blessings of obedience and the curses of disobedience, and that's the position we're in. And as long as we accept sin, it's going to keep getting worse. That's just the way it is.
Nowhere in the Bible does it say that things are going to change around, do they, at these end times?
Well, yes, there is. I mean, that's the whole Christian hope is that things change around. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. We didn't do it then. Are we going to do it now? Well, the book says that we are going to do it. But the question is, how bad do things have to get before enough white people wake up to find out what's going on? Because if they don't want to find out what's going on, then they'll never find the solution. They'll never find it.
I think a lot of people are waking up today.
Well, a lot of them are waking up, but they're waking up in the wrong places. I mean, they got so drunk, they're waking up in motels with Negroes. In other words, yeah, you know, a lot of people that think they're waking up are at tea parties. That's not the right place. That's another path of destruction. It's another walk down a different primrose path. A lot of people are waking up and becoming Odinists or neo-pagans. A lot of people are waking up to this 9/11 truth movement. That's another black hole because these people, rather than point out who did it, they're more concerned with how it was done. And they argue incessantly for decades over how it was done. And nobody ever wants to stop and think, well, who did it? I mean, it's like coming home. It's like coming home from work and finding a dead man in your living room with a bullet through his head and no gun, and being more worried about the gun than about who did it. You know, I mean, that's what 9/11 is all about. That they'll argue about thermite for years, and they'll make up fantastic stories about top secret weapons, and it's all conjecture, and all to distract people from who did it. And it wasn't Arabs on Boulevard East in Weehawken dancing in the streets celebrating. And it wasn't Baptists either. It was Jews. If you want to know who pulled something off, well, take a look at who you find dancing in the streets celebrating.
Well, does anybody else agree that the are they following that Gulf loop current being broken?
Well, I don't know about what's up with that. I got people down on the Gulf of Mexico that have a that send me pictures of pristine beaches, and there's not a drop of oil. I wrote something in forum about that last week. Now the New York Times says that the oil evaporated. It's another distraction. Christians aren't supposed to worry about anything. Don't worry about what the Jews are doing to you. Worry about not being found in bed with the Jews.
Well, Bill, that's a point talking about, well, what's it going to take for people to wake up? Listen, life can get really crappy, but as long as people have something to run to, mollify themselves, to pacify themselves, to disconnect themselves from reality. Oh, yeah, the Mexicans are running through the neighborhood and raping and killing. Let's go see what's on. There's a football game on tonight. Let's see who's going to win. You know, what spread did you bet on? Blah, blah, blah. Now we've got beer in the refrigerator. When the electricity goes off, when the grocery trucks can't get to the supermarkets to dump more crap on the shelves, when the cable TV goes down, that's when white people are going to start looking around themselves. Excuse me, I'm strangling to death here. That's when they're going to look around themselves and say, what the hell? When they have other gods, when they have no other gods to turn to, there will be only one god to turn to.
Right.
That's when there's going to be an awakening.
That's exactly agreeable with me. That's exactly what I believe. But it doesn't mean that we have to like it, right? And we can't. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't complain about it in the meantime. Yet, you know, we have to point it out. We have to witness to it. That's our job.
Hey, I see that. Okay, I see in the chat room there's a guy there called ProThink. Is that the guy with the ProThink.org website?
Yes. Yeah.
Who's the Dr. James Wickstrom? Who's that guy?
Not here.
Not here?
Yeah, he's not here.
No, I know, but who is he?
Well, that's a long story. He's a guy in Michigan. He's an identity. He's been an identity for 40 years. Uh-huh. He's in Michigan.
And he's his own thing?
Well, yeah, he does his own thing. I mean, we all do our own thing, right?
Yeah, but
well, we don't have an identity pope. Even though some people would like to be, we don't have an identity pope. There's no.
I'm new to this. Well, bear with me.
Right. I'm just being practical. Every identity pastor is absolutely independent. That's the way it should be. And if any of them aren't, then they're fools.
He wants to know if Wickstrom is worth listening to. And in personal opinion, he's not. But
well, my personal opinion is that I don't listen to Wickstrom, right? Some people like him.
I used to listen to his shows on TalkShoe, and after about the fifth one, I realized saying the same exact thing he said in the previous four, plus his little commercials about what he's selling on his website. That's what James Wickstrom's about.
Yeah. Well, you see, I came to all of this with, I was following Waterman Files. And, in fact, I saw him last Friday night, showed up at the TalkShoe chat. When I originally started following the audio, talking a lot about community and building communities, we were like gung-ho for like, how can we wake up our community, you know? And then he switched and he's gone back and forth and this and that. And I saw him inquiring with the commander there for like militia. He's always looking for militia related stuff, kind of like militia. I mean, that's all around us here.
Well, when I hear somebody preaching a civil unrest, a militia uprising, a revolution, I usually figure that they're working for the government and they're trying to be agent provocateurs. That's my first impression, and that's usually the way I treat them.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
Wickstrom, in my personal opinion, this is just my personal opinion, he's Jewish-like. He has a lot of Jewish tendencies to him. That's just my personal opinion. That's just from me watching some of his videos, and they're all the same thing, and listening to him, and he says the same thing over and over, and just the way that he is about, he wants you to purchase everything from him, and he's like a Jew, in my personal opinion. That's just my personal opinion.
Well, why don't you call him and talk with him about it?
Well, cool. You know, Don, you should probably go listen to him he's on TalkShoe once a week, I think, and go listen to him and formulate your own opinion.
I'm
not really here to bash Wickstrom or
no,
yeah, you know,
just,
there are people that I will bash here, but I would go listen to him and formulate an opinion.
No, I was exploring around and, you know, I was checking out different things and, you know, to one extreme, I've got a site, claims to be Christian Identity called The Lone Wolf. I read some of his material and, you know, learned all about how to build bombs and timers and all kinds of neat gadgets.
Yeah, well, I'm sure he's working for the government because that can't be Christian Identity.
Yeah. No, I'm just was feeling it out because there's nothing up in my neck of the woods. I talked to you, Bill, before, and you told me that there's some women up in Maine.
Right, I still haven't gotten you their email address, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and then there's me, and then I guess you're the next closest neighbor in the line. It's kind of like, and you're, you know, 150 miles away probably.
Yeah, that's the way we are. I mean, most of the people here are pretty isolated, and that's why we're here.
Yeah, there's not much going on in the Northeast when you're trying to learn stuff, you know.
And basically, I set this server up so that we would have a... Brett, I'm getting feedback from you. Basically, I set the server up so people could have a place to go where they could talk to like-minded people, right? In addition to having a refuge from TalkShoe and all of the technical problems there, and a fallback in case we ever lose TalkShoe, that this is, there's multiple reasons why I set the server up.
Good. Okay, I'll just listen. I'm sure there's other people that probably want to talk and... 10 o'clock here. I'm exhausted. Is it raining out there in New York?
Yes, it is. It just started this like around 8 o'clock this evening.
We got storms coming now.
Sure. We need the rain anyway. We had a long, hot July, and the crops need some rain, right? Some water. I just hope they don't get too much and we don't end up with blight again like we got last year.
How big's your garden?
It's pretty big. I got about 16 tomato plants. I got 6 squash plants. I mean, that's not huge. I got about 16 pepper plants, 10 asparagus roots, asparagus mounds. I got basil and bush beans and.
So you're eating out of your garden already?
I'm going crazy with zucchini, believe me. My mother does most of the cooking, and she's fed me zucchini pizza, baked zucchini, zucchini marinara. It's great that we get, you know, that we can grow our own food, but it seems that zucchini is is the only thing that's ripe in large numbers, large enough numbers that we have to eat it every night.
Yeah.
Well, which is okay. Well, we had beans.
Out of our garden.
Yeah, we had garden beans for the first time last night.
Well, I built a greenhouse earlier this spring, and I started everything under lights, all from seed. Well, it was been a pretty good year, except for the corn. All right, so
wow.
Are we there?
Okay, Don. God bless.
Okay, all right, thanks.
Thank you.
Good night, Don.
Okay.
God bless you.
I want to try and build a greenhouse.
I would like to get one of those plant. There's a farm down the road from me. It's an organic farm. And they've got about 30 plastic greenhouses. It's only plastic wrapped around these hoops. And they don't look like they heat them. You know, they don't pump any heat into them. There's really nothing there. They pump water into them sometimes from the creek. But they these greenhouses are like they're at least 120 feet long. They're really long and about 30 feet wide, perhaps. And they've got an entire row of them. And I do my walks, and I walk by there almost every day. And by the time the stuff that I plant is breaking the ground, they've got stuff 5 feet tall in there. I mean, it's incredible that the way the stuff
grows
in there.
With that plastic, you mean you don't have to pump heat in there. Sunshine.
No, it must contain it.
It's warm in there. Yeah,
right.
It does.
It must contain it. I would love to have one of those, maybe about 30 by 30. I got a huge front lawn that's just sitting there doing growing grass that we have to mow. Right.
Yeah.
I'd love to have that as part of my grass elimination program and have a 30 by 30 one. That'd be pretty nice. So that's a project to consider down the road. And then I could start a lot of my plants a lot earlier.
Well, I'm expanding my garden next year into the lawn, and I'm getting rid of the worst grass in my lawn because it's right next to my garden. Runoff from the garden goes right out into the lawn, right around it, and the grass is hell to mow. So I'm just going to pull it up and expand the garden out into that and make it, you know, work for itself, rather than me have to go out there and slave in the heat.
Right. I'm seriously gonna make an effort to expand my gardening every year, just a little bit. Add a bed here, add a bed there, even if it's a small bed.
Yeah.
There's things that I should be growing, like corn that I'm not growing yet. Potatoes, maybe onions.
Corn's almost not worth it to me. I don't know. Our last 2 or 3 crops of corn just did that great. And right now it's just cheaper to go to the market and get it. Probably not the best corn for you. So I just don't fool with it anymore. Good luck to you.
Well, I'd like to at least try it, right, and see how it comes out. I mean,
sure. Yeah.
I don't need a whole lot of corn, but it's easy to can or it's easy to freeze. And it'll keep your belly full when you should be staying away from the markets, right? Yeah, I mean, that's the idea, to be at least somewhat self-sufficient,
and
or less dependent.
You have chickens for some obscene reason, crush the
corn.
Well,
I've actually been thinking about that, too. But if Don's having a problem where he is raising chickens, yeah, you know, because he's out in the middle of nowhere in New England, upstate. He's probably on a higher latitude than ProThink is. He's out in the middle, and if he's paying too much money for feed that it's cheaper to buy chickens in the market, then why try raising chickens, right? I mean, that's crazy.
The one problem we have around here with chicken houses, I mean, normal chicken houses, not Tyson chicken, is that we are overrun with raccoons. Ever since the pelt dealers quit buying raccoon pelts, nobody's hunting them out anymore. I've had friends that just had their chickens wiped out by them. And they've tried to trap them, tried to, you know, sit out there at night looking for them, kill enough of them. I went to a nearby town today, and I saw 4 dead raccoons on the highway between my house and that town, 20 miles. They were on the move last night. And
isn't that something a dog would cure?
Well, yeah, but what can I say? Some of these raccoons around here will whip a dog's butt.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I don't know. I'm a city boy, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, coons are aggressive. Very aggressive. And they'll fight a dog. I don't keep a dog, and I don't keep chickens. Every coon I see. Raccoon.
There's a lot of critters dead in the road here every morning.
Yeah, it was like a slaughter last night around here. I don't know. I mean, they were just on the move. I noticed the deer were on the move yesterday evening. Speaking of shooting critters, I went ahead and picked up that little 22 Phoenix Arms pistol I was talking about the other night. Got a couple of odd things about it, but it was a nice little piece right here on my desk.
4-inch barrel or a 6?
3-inch barrel.
3-inch barrel out of a 22, that's not very good.
Hey, it's pretty accurate. I took it out and did some popping with it, and it's not bad at all. It's got something on it I have never seen before, a safety switch for the firing pin. I had never seen that before.
Okay.
I took it out there and tried to shoot it, and it just wouldn't shoot, and I fussed and fumed around with it and then did some research online. And there's a little switch right up next to the hammer. That releases the firing pin. I'd never seen that on a piece before.
You're getting the, I don't want to bug you, but you're getting the wind tunnel effect again.
Alright, hang on a sec.
Anybody want to talk, just request talk power and I'll turn your microphone on. I mean, this is an open forum. We can't talk about 22s all night. I can't talk about them more than 5 minutes. I really don't know too much about them. anymore, at least.
Well, I was leaning over the desk toward the fan to pick up that 22. And
I got two. I got two stupid questions when there's time.
There aren't any stupid questions. There are only stupid answers. Go ahead, Brett.
Go ahead.
How important is are the food laws of not eating pork and so forth?
That's absolutely important. That's absolutely important. It's recognizing the will of Yahweh, and it's taking care of the vessel that he gave you, right?
Okay. All right. Well, these are basic questions, but I'm trying to at the same time help Mr. Don, since he's new. Also, second question is, repent. What's a really excellent definition of repentance?
To repent means to discontinue doing what you're doing wrong and to apologize for it and recognize that you're a sinner. Recognizing your sin and discontinuing it, that's repentance. It's the people that sin and cover for it and make excuses for it that aren't repentant. I don't know how they could accept forgiveness, expect forgiveness.
So cut the pork, catfish out, no more. That would be repentance. And
I certainly would recommend it. I mean, I'm not going to tell you you're going to go to hell because you're sucking down swine, but wherever you're going to go, you're going to get there quicker. That's for sure.
And cut out all the porn.
Well, you shouldn't be messing with porn in the first place.
It was an example. I'm just helping the new people.
Yeah, it's an abstinence from things which Yahweh decreed that we should not eat is a demonstration of your desire to live by his law, or is it not? Or are you just going to flaunt it and say, well, that's the Old Testament, like the mainstream Christians do. And I have Peter's vision. Peter told me that I could eat a ham sandwich.
Hey, Bill, you know, it's interesting. I don't know how much influence Joel Osteen has, but I've run into different Baptists over the last month with whom I'm friends, and we got to talking about pork, and they both have sworn off pork.
You can eat all the venison you can, son of a mister. Yeah, that's good, and it's a shame because Joel Osteen probably has even more influence in the places where he's wrong, right?
Yeah.
I mean, look, he has a church the size of a football stadium and packs it full, and half of the people are very unclean, and not because they're pork eaters.
I have a question. Is waterfowl like duck and goose, is that considered unclean?
I'm fairly certain that the Bible states that we shouldn't eat anything with webbed feet. I could be wrong about that, but I'm pretty certain it states that.
It does.
And I never bring it up because I've never eaten goose or, or I did eat goose a few times for Christmas dinner, Thanksgiving dinner, and when I was a kid. But as an adult, I've never had goose or duck.
Duck is nasty to me. I had it one time, almost puked. But I think it does mention the web feet are on.
Yeah, it restricts anything with web feet. I don't know why. A lot of people can't fathom that we can't eat goose, but we can. A lot of people won't be able to fathom why we can't eat catfish. Yeah, you know, when I was about, I must have been about 23, 24 years old. And my grandmother and her, my step-grandfather and my parents were all over my house for dinner. And I was having catfish. And my grandmother pulled me aside and scolded me. Now she grew up in Vermont and Maine and Massachusetts. And she scolded me for serving catfish. And she said, William, we don't eat those things. And she didn't know why. She has no conception about the food laws. She only knew that she was raised to believe that catfish was something that Negroes ate. And white people did not eat catfish.
Do down here.
Well, yeah, I know they do down there. And I met a lot of good Southern boys that you could not convince them that they shouldn't eat catfish.
Yeah, I gave up catfish.
Well, they're bottom feeders.
Hey, Steven, is it raining up there?
They clean up all the garbage on the bottom of our lakes and rivers, and they probably have a physiognomy that doesn't allow us to safely consume their meat because it's probably loaded with the garbage that they eat, the poisons and the heavy metals from the bottoms of these rivers. That's what I would think.
Yeah, when I discovered the health laws, I quit eating catfish.
And like Son and Miss said, why would you eat a water filter? And that's what you're reading when you eat clams and oysters and other mollusks like mussels. You're eating the natural filters that Yahweh designed for our bodies of water, for our oceans and our lakes. That's what you're eating. You're eating, you may as well just crack the cover on your swimming pool filter and get yourself a spoon.
Yummy.
Yeah, that doesn't sound too appetizing.
Well, that's what you're doing when you're eating clams and oysters, because that's what they do. That's their function. That's their purpose. That they are nature's swimming pool filters. And I'm sure that Yahweh designed them just for that reason. So not only do we remove them from the ocean floor to put them in our bellies, but we also cause our oceans to become polluted because we unplugged the filter.
On a slightly related subject, most people eat way too much meat anyway, and meat doesn't get out of the intestines. It's not processed through the intestines very quickly, not as quickly as vegetables, dairy products, and whatnot. So odds are you probably eat too much meat.
Yeah, you're probably right, but I love eating meat, and I'm a meat eater, and I've convinced my mother that that beef is 100% pure vegetable.
100% grass, isn't it?
Yeah. It's what does a cow ingest? It's not vegetable.
They're asking about turtles and moose and pheasant and goats and frog legs in chat.
You can't eat frog legs. You can't eat turtles. What are you, French or something?
Used to. I used to eat turtle. That was a long time ago.
Yeah, frog legs and turtles are unclean. Goats are clean. They chew cud. They got a split hoof. Goats and sheep are clean. Now, I know a goat is pretty nasty, but they're clean. Because it has everything to do with physiognomy, and it doesn't really have anything to do with our perception, right? And what could be nastier than a snail?
Bugs. What about bugs?
Locusts are the only clean bugs, so far as I know. And I couldn't eat a locust. I'd have to be starving to death.
That's a good thing, in case there is a famine that sets in or something. There's nothing but locusts around. At least you wouldn't starve.
That we made Bob Don hungry. We're talking about locusts and snails, and Farmer Don got hungry. Wow. Okay. Now, bears have paws. We're not supposed to eat anything with paws.
Bears, it's got to have a...
a cloven hoof and a, I'm sorry, Bob, I missed your joke. And they have to chew the cud, right? And bears are carnivores, right? And I know a lot of West Virginia hillbillies that love eating bear every year, too. They hunt bear and they eat bear all winter. Omnivores, yeah, Papa Cat, sort of like Negroes.
Hey, Bill, who's in charge of this Covenant People's Ministry org, you know?
That is Jeremy Visser.
Oh, okay.
Why, are you trying to get listed there, or,
No, well, he just put me down as ASII, and it's ASCII. That's all I was wondering.
He thought you were assy.
Yeah.
Sorry, Bruce.
It's okay. That's a good thing about being in Christ and Yahshua and Yahweh is that there's no buttons to push, you know?
Well, there shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Brett, you're about to go to Hades. Well, we gotta have something else. I mean, we've only been at this for an hour, and
Bob's asking in the chat what eats Jews and blacks. I've always heard that alligators will eat niggers, but I've never personally seen that. I think they'd probably eat a Jew too.
The biggest problem today is that most of the organisms eating Jews and blacks are white female mud sharks, right?
Yeah.
Sorry for the joke in poor taste, but that's the truth. They look like whale turds. If anybody wants to talk, RP wants to talk, okay. Just right-click your own name and request talk power. I don't know if you want to talk until I see that little flag. Hello, RP.
Hey, hi. You hear me?
How you doing? Yes.
Oh, okay. Doing good. Doing good. I heard you talking about all those nasty, illegal foods.
Well, Brett asked. Brett asked about unclean foods. I guess he's still sucking down pork barbecue.
I think it's I think it's those snails, man.
Snails.
Yeah.
And I remember. Go ahead, RP.
I was just gonna say, as I've many times mentioned, once I quit eating. Forbidden food, my health, absolutely. I used to eat lobster and not snails. So I had those. I ate some of that, you know, because I was making big money, and you know that's some of the food that they have out there. And bad health. Once I followed what Yahweh said, boom, good health. So I lost weight.
Well, I believe so. I think that a lot of the obesity and disease in our society is caused only by the obvious things like high fructose corn syrup and soybean oil, but by people that their main diet is pork and shellfish and other unclean foods, and they wonder why they're 20 pounds, 30 pounds, 100 pounds overweight, and they're always sick.
Yeah, they won't get their full 70 years. That's why they're dying in their 40s.
Now, I caught the flu at least every other year in prison because you really can't help it. I mean, when everybody has it. But I realized after about four or five times catching the flu, right, that I only caught the flu when I worked out over my regular workout in the wintertime and everybody else was sick. If I wore myself down, I do 20 sets of pull-ups and go run 20 laps. That's 6 miles. And I come back and I catch the flu that was going around. And I figured out that working out too hard in the winter months, I was wearing myself down and I was making myself susceptible. And what I did was the last 3-4 years in prison, I did this and I never got sick. When November came, I cut my workout by a third and just did two-thirds of my workout until flu season was over with, until February.
Part of the workout response is almost similar to your body's response to an infection. In other words, when you have a real strong stress, your body has only so many units of recovery, whether it's recovering from exercise or recovering infection. It only has so much adaptive energy, resources, and you wear them down, and you open yourself up.
Well, that's exactly what I did, and I'd catch the flu. Well, I haven't taken a pill since about 98, maybe 97. And I stopped doing the real heavy workouts during the flu season and just doing a moderate, you know, 8-set workout. Well, that's 24-set workout. And I never got sick again. That was it. I didn't get sick anymore.
Well, I told you how when I first got to know Jones, he told me that I was working out 10 and a half hours a week, and he said, first thing you need to do is reduce your workout down 1 hour a week due to the fact that, you know, I was recovering from tuberculosis. I only had so much recovery, adaptive recovery energy. And once I did that, boom, big results.
Well, I'd work out an hour a day, and mm-hmm. during flu season, I started working out about 35, 40 minutes a day, and I never got sick again. Honest, after 2 years, I said, this works. I'm going to keep doing this. Because I stopped wearing myself down when everybody around me was sick, and I stopped getting sick. And I eat right, and I don't take any pills, so I can't talk about vitamins and all that. So I don't miss them. I don't take anything. I don't even like to take anything topical.
You know, Clinton had an article. Oh, go ahead.
I don't put any of those mainstream chemicals on my body, right? Like antiperspirant that's really made of heavy metals that are going to soak into, leach into your pores, and perfumes and aftershaves. Nah, stay away from all that crap.
Nag oil.
If you have a problem with perspiration, just take an extra shower. I mean, and eat right, and you won't stink.
You know, Clifton had an article, Racial Program for the 20th Century. Where that is on his site?
That's not Clifton's article.
Sure, it's your article?
No, it's not my article either.
Eli's?
No, sir. I don't even think it's an identity article. I think Clifton's addressed it.
Maybe that's out of what's-his-face's book. You know, that guy from Canada, that commander.
Let's see. I got it on Wikipedia, right? A racial program for the 20th century. Occasionally a radical program for the 20th century. Probably because some Jews can't spell. Excuse me. It's an anti-Semitic hoax promoted by Eustace Mullins. It is often cited as proof of a Jewish and or communist plot against white Americans in much the same way as the Protocols, another false document, is used as proof of a Jewish global domination conspiracy. Now I'm quoting Wikipedia, right? It's right. Obvious. Allegedly written in 1912 by Israel Cohen, a British Jewish communist, it first gained public notoriety on June 7, 1957, during a debate on the Civil Rights Act of 1957, when Thomas Abernathy of Mississippi read a reputed quotation from it into the Congressional Record. And Clifton addressed that in a pamphlet that he wrote called They're Your Children, Do You Care?
Oh, okay. That's where I saw it. Okay.
And that is on his site, and it should be on his site under the menu, I would think, on the right-hand side that says Refuting Universalism.
At a reading.
That would be my guess.
Well, it's...
That's where it is. I'm going to put the link in the right here.
Nice.
There you go.
who was the brother who asked about repentance earlier?
Brett? Brett asked about repentance.
I see. But it's from coming out of a Judeo-Christian background, which most of us have. And, well, maybe I'm not speaking for all of us, but from looking at myself and most of us, I think that can be said fairly honestly that we've come out of that background, correct?
Well, every one of us has come out of that background. I don't see, I don't know everybody in this room perfectly, but the only two people that I know that were never in Judeo-Christianity that come to this room are Eighth Day Woman, who was raised in identity, and Mark. Not Mark III, the other Mark. Mark Sharon was raised in identity.
Yeah.
Everyone came out of a Judeo-Christian background.
Very few were brought up with that racial awareness, then, as far as that goes. Right?
Alex says he was in Judeo-Christianity. Like I said, I don't know everybody in the room perfectly, right?
Yeah. Well, I think what the enemy does, which are the Jews, which are, you know, Satan, they attempt to poison the well, obviously, in every aspect of our lives. But as far as the Judeo-Christianity and churchianity goes and the conditioning of the terminologies and the words used, they themselves have been destroyed. You know, do you understand what I'm saying? The meaning behind the words? Yeah. So in the sense of repentance, it's like the Judeo, the churchianity, the false Christ, the Antichrist, the Jew, and all of those are sucked into that attempt instead of totally turning from ourselves and not relying upon our own understanding and turning to Yahweh with all of our hearts and all of our strength and our might. What they attempt to do is instead of the word repent has a meaning of turning away from or shunning or ending something. But a projection
It's to turn about. It's to turn back. It's to turn back to the right path. And the only way you would do that is to realize that you're headed in the wrong direction in the first place.
Even in the last 2,520 years, we've been going the wrong way. I mean, for the most part, I'm not speaking for all of us, but I'm saying there obviously when Yahweh became flesh, there was a great blessing brought, you know, to the Adamic Israelites. But still the punishment of... Well, what I'm saying is that unless the foundation is laid of living a moral life, then...
Yahweh told something, Yahshua told something to Peter that's true of our entire race. He said, when you're young, you gird yourself and you go off where you want. When you're old, old men pick you, you know, other men have to pick you up and take you where you don't want. Yeah, you know, we've gone our own path for 2,500 years, and now we're being dragged to where we don't want to go because we've gone our own path for 2,500 years.
Yeah. And it requires nothing less than all of our energy, you know. It can't be like 7/8 of our energy. And when I say energy, I mean all of our faculties, our feelings, our thoughts, our focus, and especially the heart, the seat of your gut or your it's in your blood. That's the best way you can see it. You have to put all of your energy in. It's not projecting some order out of the chaos we see, but the very scene of all this disorder of all of the crap that the Jews are flinging around all over the place, and that the very scene of that, it, without any what do you call it, make something not realistic, it's called turn to think of it, not imagine it or but see the disorder for it. It's kind of like the disorder of the Jew, of the devil, of the heirs of our past and everything about us. Not bit by bit, piece by piece, but every day in our everyday life. When we walk in that, then the order is the seeing of that and ending it completely. And it's not a struggle. Well, what I'm saying is, being able to look at all this, because it is very negative, right? Bill?
Supposed to look at the bright thing, you know, all the positive stuff.
What I'm saying is that one has to absolutely, totally see that. And yes, it's a mess, absolutely. But however, the to see it clearly, the chaos, the confusion, the babble, the whole system, all of the criminal networks of Jewry and these vermin running around. Just to see it, the very scene of it brings its own order of the spirit of Yahweh, of the Almighty. And therefore, there's no wrestling against it. That which is confusion will have to deal with itself. So, and it's a total separation. It's totally getting lost, you know, from this confusion. But then not escaping from it too, because one has to deal in everyday life with it. But it's not. Then there's the king is walking in this temple, and there's no, you know, problem. And that king isn't put together by us.
You're philosophizing again, Bruce.
If anybody
really
wants to talk,
if anybody wants to talk, just right-click your name and request talk power. I'm sorry.
Okay.
You take too many digressions and it's hard to follow you, right?
Well, what I'm saying, when the wife, Israel, the bride of Christ, of Yahweh, the only thing on that bride's wife is her prince, right? And the bride is nothing in the arms of the prince, and the prince to himself is nothing in with the bride. But there's that quality of that beauty and love that expresses itself beyond words. And that's exactly what Paul was talking about. All of those, you know, joy unspeakable, full of glory, peace that passes understanding, love beyond, that surpasses knowledge, and that spirit of the Almighty of Yahweh uses thought, all of thought and all of feeling, and that's living, and it's vital, and it's not fanaticism or insanity, but it's the absolute ending of all the confusion, so that when we face confusion itself falls upon itself outwardly, but it's not inside. That's not confusing, is it? Arduous putting these things in words.
Words are the frames of our thoughts. And the man does not live by word, bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Fortunately, we have it written down in our gospel. And those are the words we're supposed to think in, and the viewpoint we need to think in. And I know that's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, and the beauty of it is there's no authority in all of this as far as the members of the body, of his body, of Christ. But all we can do is point to the door.
Well, we're king priests, and he's the king of kings and lord of lords. He's the king over the king priests. He's the ultimate, what's that term, Bill, of our faith?
Sovereign?
Means the author of our faith.
All in all, there's many terminologies.
The author of our faith. A term that means the author of our faith.
Something coming to mind.
Yeah, you've got me lost. I mean, I know the passage that you mean.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
I don't remember how
that. The author of our faith.
The author and finisher?
Yeah, that's it.
That's Hebrews 12:2.
The beginning and the end? He's our all in all. He's our life. He's everything. There's nothing else. Everything is what?
Good night, Don.
Good night, Don. Oh, Clifton's here.
That farming life is a hard life. I you don't realize it until you see farmers, right? I see these guys around here working their fields, and it's not always sitting on a tractor. It's a tough job. That they earn their money, and the Jews have them choked off more than anybody. They can't make any money because the Jews have all the commodity prices. Everything that they produce, the prices are under the thumb of the Jews. It's incredible.
They hate farmers.
Farmers should be making $500 an hour, and lawyers should be making $1 an hour. And it's the other way around. The Jews got the whole world turned upside down. It's absolutely incredible.
You're right.
What about all the black farmers? They should be fertilizer. Whites don't want to be farmers because you can't make any money at it. They work all day. They don't make anything. It's crazy.
Yeah, black farmers don't hardly produce anything anyway.
Oh, they produce crack houses.
That's why they're starving to death in Africa.
Yeah, right. How many successful black farmers are there in Zimbabwe? After they ran the white man off. I'm curious about how I translated Hebrews. The founder and completer of the faith, Yahshua. That's the way I translated it. It sounds good both ways, right? It's true both ways, too.
Yeah, I think Paul mentions that faith itself is also the faith of Yahweh, meaning to say it's not something we work up in ourselves in the sense of the ooga booga kind of churchianity stuff. And we all know, I think we know what that is.
Well, it sounded like a Morgan here again already.
Oh, sorry. I was actually looking up something.
What are you looking up?
It's a quote that I document I'll paraphrase it, when I find it in there. When they craft a series of lies, you know, a huge series of lies, and they gradually feed it over, you know, over a number of generations. When you tell them the truth, you look like a raving lunatic.
Okay.
Who's, yeah.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. They think we're raving lunatics.
Right. And they accuse us of that all the time.
What did that nice Mr. Guy from Great Britain call you guys? Dogs?
Well, he was a Jew. He's in Tel Aviv.
Oh, is he in Tel Aviv?
Yeah, Yair Davidi. He called Clifton and I wild animals and Nazi beasts and all kinds of stuff.
Here it is.
I gave the most succinct answer I could on my forum. If I didn't have the Jews mad at me, I wouldn't be doing my job. I'd be a slacker and a deceiver. I'm sorry, Stephen. Go ahead.
Oh, that's cool. But, I think a year ago I emailed him and pretty much said that the Jews are Edomites, and he kind of went off on me.
Well, of course he would. I promised the an editorial for the new Ensign coming up. I got to get my butt to it tomorrow, or maybe tonight even. Probably not tonight, probably in the morning. I'll have to take an hour out of my regular stuff and do that. Because I want to challenge the British Israel people openly to a debate on two seed line, meaning Martin Lightfoot and Kenneth McFarlane and some of those other clowns that have been running their mouths. About two seed line. I want to debate them either here or on Talk Show. Or maybe in a venue of their choice.
That would be fun to watch.
I don't think they'll take me up on it, but I'm gonna lay it out there. That Martin Lightfoot made himself look like a real fool when he embraced evolution to support the relationship of and basically that there's no doubt in my mind or Clifton's that's equivocally what he did. And he embraced evolution to or the idea of evolution, the same fundamental theory behind it, that somehow because the Jews remained in Palestine, that they don't have the same DNA as the English anymore, that it actually evolved into a different DNA, basically. And it just happens to be the same haplogroup as the Arabs. And that's just crazy. Jews have been in Britain for 400 years, and they still have that J haplogroup, and they ain't losing it.
Well, that sounds really, absolutely, totally retarded and off base of any reason whatsoever. That sounds Jewish. Yeah.
Well, the British Israel World Federation, as I wrote on my forum, that they're being dragged around by the testicles by a Jew named Yair Davidi. And that's the honest truth.
That's the same clown that you mentioned earlier, huh?
Yeah, well, he feeds these people all their arguments. They all worship him, basically. He's
and
their greatest sycophant and their greatest deceiver.
And this kike, Davidi, whatever.
They quote him all the time.
Is he a professing rabbi? Or what is he?
I don't know what he is, but he's been around a long time professing that the English are the 10 lost tribes and the Jews are Judah. There you have
it. Okay.
It's the same lie that Edward Hines first started teaching British Israel in the 1870s or 1880s or whenever he wrote.
He's an Orthodox Jew. I don't know if he's a rabbi.
Yeah, you know, I really think I remember a statement a lot like that from Mein Kampf. I've read it before. I thought it may have been in Mein Kampf. Maybe it isn't. Maybe it's on my Mein Kampf site somewhere.
I got that from that Robert Menard up in Canada, treatise that he put. He points out the money power and stuff as far as he goes, though.
Well, I thought it would have been honorable, at least a little bit, just a little tad bit of honor, if Clayton would have addressed the Paul bashing issue when you had that conversation with him, but he never even touched on it.
No, he skirted it. He wouldn't go there with me. And that was supposed to be the reason why he had me on the program, but he wouldn't go there.
It's been my experience that most of these Paul bashers are Jews because they're the ones that started the whole mess.
Well, you know, some Paul bashers, let me explain this. Some Paul bashers are well-meaning people that believe that all of the arguments about universalism, the arguments in favor of universalism in the Bible, come from Paul. And that is their fault. Because first, there are many passages outside of Paul that the universalists use to promote their ideas. John 3:16, for instance, and several other places where it says all men in Matthew and Mark and John. And second, by attacking Paul for the universalist positions found in translations of Paul, they're really doing both Paul and themselves a huge disservice, and they're really giving credibility to the mainstream translations of Paul, which are demonstrably flawed. There's no universalism in Paul's letters once you understand what the Greek says and the meanings of the Greek words that the universalists like to abuse. So it's not Paul's fault that the translators were going to pervert his words, and that's exactly what they've done. They've changed nouns into verbs. They've changed verbs into nouns. They've done that to take exclusive language and make it sound universal. They've taken the subjects and objects of sentences and swapped them. And this can all be proven through standard Greek grammar. That's not Paul's fault that they would do that. So they get caught up in that. They're anti-universalist, and they slam Paul, perceiving him to be a universalist, when in fact Paul's not universalist at all. Now, the Jews take advantage of that situation because they are the original Paul bashers. Jews, civil rights promoters, homosexuals, and feminists. That's who's behind most of the... That's who's fueling the fire for most of the Paul bashers. And even W.G. Finley... W.G. Finley is supposedly an identity pastor in South Africa who's quoting the rabbi, Joachim Prince. He calls him the learned rabbi, Joachim Prince. I would call him butt wipe. He's nothing. I would never respect any of his opinions because he's a Jew and a rabbi. But W.G. Finley took all of this Jew rabbi's anti-Paul teachings and brought them into identity. And there are identity churches today, including the identity church that ordained me to be a minister in their church. I have the certificate on my forum. It's under Christian Identity, and the thread said that says ordained by the First Church of Paul Bashers, and I announced them all excommunicated, right? And they all went into Paul bashing following Francis Smith in Maine and who follows W.G. Finley. They're all Paul bashers now. It's a whole, yeah, it's not a lot of people, but it's probably about 30, 40 identity people in Michigan. All Paul bashers. Following Ralph Daigle and Gary Blackwell and a handful of people up there that Jim Wickstrom used to be associated with. But Jim Wickstrom, to his credit, did not go off into Paul bashing.
Yeah, I saw a video recently by him. He defended Paul.
Well, that's very much to his credit, I would say. But, the church, his former church, they split over the Kathy Kallstrom affair, but there was something else already brewing, and that's the fact that there were three pastors in the church, and Daigle and Blackwell went off into Paul bashing, and Wickstrom wouldn't.
Did you say Daigle? Deagle?
Ralph Daigle. He was a friend of mine. I mean, I knew him in prison. We were in prison for 2 years together. That now, yes, Papa Catara. That now, another one, Clayton Douglas, in his Paul bashing articles, he quoted Bishop John Spong. Well, Clifton and I looked into John Spong. He was an Episcopalian bishop in Newark, New Jersey. He was a bishop in Newark, New Jersey at the same time that Joaquin Prince, the Paul bashing rabbi that W.G. Finley got into bed with, was bashing Paul. And Joaquin Prince was the chief rabbi of the biggest synagogue in Newark, New Jersey. So you see a connection there, you think? Now, John Spong is a Jew lover. He's written many pro-Jewish books, very sympathetic of the Jews. He's a homosexual. He was the first bishop of the Episcopalian Church to ordain a homosexual into ministry, which caused a huge division in the Episcopalian Church in the 80s. And he's also a civil rights activist. He was in North Carolina in the 50s marching with the Negroes. And this is the guy Clay Douglas relied on as the main source of his Paul bashing material, or one of the main sources. It's all in William Fink versus the Paul bashers. And this is the people that the Paul bashers are following. And many of their arguments, even when they don't realize it, are just the recycled garbage from John Spong and Joaquin Prince. Not all of their arguments, but many of them are. And that's why I say that Paul bashers aren't Christians and they're whores for the Jews. Because that's who they're following. And all the feminists hate Paul because Paul said that women should keep their trap shut in church and in the assembly. Now, if you look at Greek culture and Hebrew culture, you'll find very clearly that that's just the way it was. That's the way the world was. And it's probably the way the world should still be. And that's a lot of women would get offended for that, but it's just the truth.
Women would be safer under a lot of the old ways.
They would be a lot safer, and they would be a lot more respected, and they would be, yeah, you know, women had a noble position. A woman in the ancient world was in charge of the household.
Yes,
a woman ran the household. That was her. She had full control over her children and her house. And men didn't get involved in that. When a woman wanted something done around the house, that's the way it had to be. And that was a woman's position. They ran the household. And that's, you know, she has to manage it from day to day, and she should have a say over it. And woman is a very noble being in her natural position. That's the way Yahweh made us.
Bill, isn't that in old English and early on, she was known as the mistress. And, of course, they switched that to mistress. They removed she was a mistress of the house. In other words, she less than the master, but she was the mistress of the house.
Right. I think there's even a line in the Bible that explains how Sarah was the head of the household for Abraham. And that was a woman's position. A man had many other concerns, but political concerns and public concerns were left to men. In the Old Testament, whenever a woman rose up in the Old Testament, it was only because the men weren't doing their damn jobs.
Yeah,
and a woman filled the void. And that's, you know, women are, that's a great thing. And yeah. That's a noble woman that realizes when it has to be done, but not when they feel like it should be done. And it's contrary to scripture. Now the Greek poets, they explain in full that women have no public voice and that women who are smart accomplish things through their husbands.
Yep.
And women had no public voice in Greece. So Paul can't, he's just repeating what are cultural facts that have always been established all throughout Old Testament times. He's only repeating them and urging the Greeks to keep them. But he had much esteem for women and came in contact with many women that the records show that he had much esteem for. Look at Priscilla. Look at that woman, I'm sorry, I forget her name, the woman that was a seller of purple in Thuatira that he met on the banks of the river. I can't remember her name, I'm trying. But Paul had nothing but it. Look at Phoebe, what he says about Phoebe in the opening is verses of Romans chapter 16. And he talks about the household of Chloe, who's a female, in 1 Corinthians. He talks about positively about women all the time. But women had a place in society, and that's their place today, because since women left our households, look at what's happened to our families.
Yep.
And that should be enough testament against feminism right there.
A lot of those feminists went on and got married later.
And wish they could have kids, because
right.
They were
and
whores
they
all through
kids,
their
right.
20s instead. That to the shape of today's families in America, in the entire Western world, that's enough of a testament against feminism. That should be all you need. That's all you need. Look at the shape of our families.
Yeah, I talked to a CI guy yesterday. His relationship ended because she felt he was... he said, I felt like she wanted me to worship her instead of moving together as a unit for God. He said she was almost jealous of his... scripture studies?
I'm sure. But the rebellion of women against their traditional role is right out of the pages of the Protocols of Zion and the Communist Manifesto.
Yep. All the destroy. See, if we're just a bunch of individuals, we can never accomplish anything. We're all rightly fitted together, lively stones. That's how we're supposed to be.
Well, right. But the family is a unit, and Yahweh made us male and female for a reason, right? And that's the way it's supposed to be. Rick Tarr, that's just absolutely disgusting.
What do you do? China Douglas. Oh, jeez.
Stephen, what is that in your lap in your avatar? A miniature dachshund. I had a miniature dachshund. I loved that dog. I missed him. He was about 7 years old when I went to prison.
Yeah, someone poisoned it, and I had a... It
looks
down real slow. Sorry.
It looks just like a miniature dachshund I had.
Oh, yeah. Someone poisoned it when I left it outside for a while, and it was dying real slow, so I had to shoot the poor thing and put it out of its misery.
Wow, that's a shame. Okay,
find out who did it.
God bless.
Yep, see y'all later.
RP.
Nah, did it.
A Chinese person must have posted this YouTube because it says, China ban on dog meat draw angry outcry. It's a Chinese accent in the spelling. They left all the yeses off.
Yeah, it was a miniature dachshund.
Yeah, I had one of them. I love that dog. He was a great dog. He was a lot more aggressive than my... I had a basset hound, too, and a mutt at the same time. I had three dogs. And the mutt was like a white, long-haired dog, and the miniature dachshund always had a mouthful of white fur. and it was three times the size of the dachshund.
Yeah, they're pretty aggressive little dogs.
Well, somebody else has to want to talk here. Maybe one of the women want to pipe up and defend them. No, I'm kidding. all of us women haters here.
Well, I think that's also with in regards to Yahweh's bride is to to be still and know that he's our all in all, you know. It's the same type of...
Well, I'm sorry, I was muted. I just got some bad news. a friend of mine got a kidney transplant a few months ago, 4 months ago, and is having to go back to the hospital, starting to show signs of rejection on it. 4 months into it. I told him 6 months he should be clear.
How old is he, Victor?
63, 64, something like that.
Well, you know what? I don't want to sound like I don't have any empathy, but I don't think a kidney transplant is the way to go for any of us.
Yeah. Well, what happened? Agent Orange in Vietnam.
Yeah, right. I know. Terribly destructive.
Yeah.
I know. And
both of his kidneys had shut down over time, and he was doing dialysis about 3 times a week. Finally got a kidney that would work, and we all thought, you know, hey, this is it for him. You know, he'll kidney and he'll be all right. So I don't know. He's showing signs of rejection. Nothing's definite yet. Find out tomorrow. Kind of got me pissed off.
Well, yeah, we hate to lose our friends, and especially good guys that got caught up in bad situations caused by our unrighteous government, right? That's the way it is. I worry about my own son all the time. Yeah, I knew a few guys that were badly damaged by Agent Orange.
Well, Tim's a heck of a white guy. You know, he's one of those guys who can do anything he sets his mind to. You know, he's real laid back and calm and you know, carpentry, yeah. Plumbing, yeah. Electrician's work, yeah. Masonry, yeah. You know, self-employed. He makes dentures.
And that's a lot of the stuff that I wish I could do, you know. That's a lot of the stuff that I never learned how to
do. Build something. Yeah, I mean, the guy decides he's going to build something, and he builds it, and, you know. But he makes dentures for a living, and he undercuts the professionals. And he's got people coming from Houston. People would rather drive all the way from Houston up here to South Central Arkansas, spend the night, cheaper for them to do that than it is to go to the professional firms that make dentures. And I think he charges something like $450 for a set.
That's pretty cheap.
And guarantee. It is pretty cheap. And does a lot of it.
And doesn't employ any Mexicans.
No. Man can't stand Mexicans or niggers. I haven't quite got him convinced about Jews. He understands Jews, but I don't think he understands the scope. Tomorrow, what happens with him? I think worst case scenario, they'd probably just take it out, and then he'd go back on the donor list again, or the waiting list.
Yep, start all over again. But I think that I'm sure that once something like that is diagnosed, there's probably natural ways to at least diminish the effects that we're not being told about or that aren't being studied because of the pharmaceutical industry.
Oh, I have no doubt about that.
And the medical industry?
Yeah, it's like with cancer. I mean, nobody's going to come up with a cure for cancer because it'd kill an entire industry.
Right. But basically, we're told no pharmacia, and that's, yeah, you know, it's, I haven't been tested myself yet, you know, and I might fail that test too. I'm not saying that. I'm not trying to be self-righteous, but the Bible says in very plain words, no pharmacia. And to me, that means no drugs, no pharmaceuticals.
Well, the way I see that is, I see pharmacia, and this is just me personally, as the act of using drugs and poisons to influence other people, to twist the way they think, to twist the way they live. You know, I know a woman who's on 14 separate prescriptions, and some of them are to counteract the effects of some of the others. No way. That's unhealthy as hell.
Well, I got a woman like that right upstairs, my 92-year-old grandmother, and she's 92, and there ain't no way I'd ever convince her that stuff was no good for her.
Yeah. That's how I see the concept of pharmacia. And I think that's why it got translated as sorcerer. And you could tell me this, pharmacia is used in other places in the New Testament, translated as witchcraft. Am I not right?
Well, right, but it's in the Greek, the plain use of the word, the plain meaning of the word is the use of drugs.
Yeah.
And I believe that since we had no such industry in the Middle Ages, that the translators of the King James Version thought of it as sorcery. They thought of the use of drugs as sorcery, so that's how they translated it.
Works
because it It was so alien to them. What did you have in the Middle Ages? You had your Jewish court physicians. They've been around all through time. And you had, and of course, only the richest noblemen could afford them. And you had your alchemists, who were seen as sorcerers and wizards and extremist screwballs for the most part.
Yeah, and you had guys like Nostradamus, who was a Jew. He was also a physic, and he would
right.
move among the plague victims and not get the plague himself because he washed his hands. You know, he understood to some degree, I guess, that this transferred through touch or something.
Well, you know something? Anybody who reads the scripture carefully, Leviticus, would understand that.
Yep.
They would understand that those diseases come through contact. And that's why men were told, when they come in touch with a dead body, go wash yourself and your clothes and stay outside the gate of the city until evening.
What's the
that's
deal
why.
On hyssop, or hyssop, or whatever you want to call it? Does that have some sort of germ-fighting ability?
I think it may have. Yeah, you know, it may have been a natural antiseptic. It was definitely used for medicinal purposes by the Greeks and Romans and Hebrews.
Oh, okay.
And what do we do today when we get a burn? We put aloe on the burn, right?
Yeah, aloe. Yeah.
That there's all kinds of plants that have medicinal purposes that are probably much better than that crap we're buying off store shelves. But we're just programmed to go buy the crap off the store shelves.
Well, midwives for centuries used foxglove to treat people with heart problems. Doctors scoffed at that, but guess what? That's where you get digitalis today, is from foxglove plant, for example.
Yeah, the Catholic Church at one point in time viewed people who used herbs as witches and condemned the use of herbs at one point in time.
Well, it directed people away from the church, that's why. Directed them away from their authority.
Well, I don't see any problem in the Bible with natural remedies, as long as they're natural remedies. And I'm sure that Yahweh put a diversified fauna on his planet, on this planet, for that reason. Because each one of those plants can be beneficial to us in particular instances, or any food. The fruits and vegetables. But we know that some vegetables, green vegetables, you eat them, and they cause your blood to clot or to thin, or, you know, certain oils have certain effects on our systems. Certain garlic has known effects on our systems. Hot peppers, cayenne pepper. All these things are beneficial to us for one reason or another, but we don't study the benefits because we have pharmaceutical industry. And all the pharmaceutical industry themselves, they test all these plants that they find for various benefits or ailment cures. And what they do is they try to synthesize, they identify the molecule that does the work, they synthesize it, and they patent it. That's what they aim to do.
Yeah.
That's what
they're
doing.
Anything for a shekel.
Right. They don't want to help society with some great discovery that this stuff you could grow in your backyard can heal you. That they want to patent it so that they could corner the market on it. And they'll synthesize it and patent it. And you could read the patent. That don't mean you want to know. That don't mean that you're going to find out what plant the molecule originally was derived from. They're not going to tell you. They don't have to reveal that in a patent. So the pharmaceutical industry is just basically hastening our demise because they're preventing us from a lot of good health information and real health research. That they want to substitute a chemical that they could make money off for everything, for all our food, for all our so-called medicines.
See, to me, that's pharmakia. That's the idea behind it.
Well, that's the pharmaceutical industry. Now, let me explain something, and this is really interesting, and it's on my site, and I got to go get it, right? I got to go find my paper on pharmaceuticals, because I want to make sure I don't goof it up. It's a topic I haven't read on for a while. like since I wrote this paper.
Yeah, I think that the pharmaceutical industry branched off from alchemy.
The Greek word pharmakos had another use in ancient Greek. And this is the bottom paragraph in my paper on pharmaceuticals found in the discussion section on Christogenia on the top menu. The word pharmakos in ancient Greece, while it meant a drug, right? It also meant one who is sacrificed as an atonement for others. Christ is the only pharmaceutical we'll ever need.
Amen.
Amen.
That is interesting.
Yes, it is, because it's a very odd use of the word. I can't really explain how they came to use the word in that way. But it's right in the pages of Liddell and Scott. And Aristophanes is like a 4th century B.C. Greek poet. And he used the word in that sense. One who is sacrificed as an atonement for others. A scapegoat. Aristophanes. That's quote-unquote Liddell and Scott.
Yeah, but Christ wasn't exactly an atonement. Talked about this the other night.
Well, right, he wasn't an atonement, but he was still sacrificed as a propitiation for us. He still died on our behalf, even though that wasn't
right.
an act of atonement. It's a very odd use of the word. And since worthless fellows were reserved for this fate, pharmakos became a general name of reproach. And they cite the Iliad for that, and Demosthenes.
Okay, to get technical, what's the difference between the word pharmakos and the word pharmakia?
Well, one of them's a noun describing the person that performs the action, and the other one is a noun describing the action itself.
Okay. All right. Got it.
Yeah, you know, pharmakia is the use of drugs. Pharmakos is the druggist.
Pharmakon?
Well, pharmakon might be the nominative form of the word, rather than pharmakos. I'll look it up. Some Greek words have the nominative form ending in the N instead of the S for one strange reason or another. Pharmakon, a drug, a medicine. Pharmakos is the person, the poisoner, the sorcerer. And pharmakia is the use of drugs or potions. So we have three nouns. One describes the action, well, of which pharmakuo is the verb. One describes the drug itself, that's a pharmakon, and a pharmakos is the actual person who employs the drug.
Pharmakos dispenses pharmakon through the practice of pharmakia.
Right.
Okay.
And the verb is pharmakuo, which means to administer a drug. Plato, pharmakuo. In some contexts, it also means to use enchantments. In others, to drug. To give one a poisonous or stupefying drug. A pharmacotrives is one who grinds drugs. A pharmacopolis is a dealer in drugs. So there's all sorts of, you know, associated words, like any other common noun. I know, and any one of us could be tested at any time and give in to the mainstream way of thinking. And usually that's out of desperation, because we don't have a natural alternative, or we're ignorant of it.
Well, you know, like I told you before, I've got a friend who wound up with a cancerous tumor on his brain and then one down near his liver. And they wanted to, well, they removed both of the tumors, but he still had some. I've told you this story before. He wound up drinking hydrogen peroxide. Not the stuff you get in the store, but the grade that they put in, like, cattle food and stuff, on a regimen that he had been told about, like one drop in a glass of water on day one, two drops. I don't remember what the – and when he went back for checkup –
he alkalized his system. He alkalized his system.
Yeah. And when he went back for his checkup, he had no cancer. And as far as I know, still doesn't.
And that's awfully interesting. Should get him to write it out and post it somewhere for us or something.
You know, he showed me the printout off the internet that someone, and I'm guessing if you could Google it and probably find it yourself, hydrogen peroxide treatment for cancer. Because I know he showed me the printout from, came off the hydrogen peroxide. Yes, I bit my lips when I.
It could be a good preventive application as well.
Yeah, just
you see, you see what Virkato wrote? You see what Virkato typed? He typed a long piece into the forum about MREs E8 that were 8 years old.
Oh, Lord. So did
he said it was the greatest thing he ever... He said it was the most incredible tasting thing he ever ate. if he comes on tomorrow, we'll... Oh, it was not the most incredible. Okay, I missed that nod. I'm sorry. I was laughing. I'm wondering why he would do that to himself.
Hey, MREs, meals rejected by Ethiopians. Might require enema.
Well, they're supposed to last a long time. We'll see.
And they do.
Probably Kyle, you'll have to stop in tomorrow and tell us how you feel.
Jay, you can Google hydrogen peroxide cancer treatment. There's all kinds of hits on that.
Yeah, right. I'd be afraid that most of them were Jewish distraction, right? That's all right. I'll Google it. It might be interesting.
I'm just glad it worked for him because he's a hell of a mechanic when he's drunk. It was the first time I ever met the guy. I was a kid, and I was at someone else's house. My parents and I were at their friend's house, and he came around the back side. We were sitting on the back porch, and this guy looks like a stone cold-blooded axe murderer or something. He's really tall, about 6'7", rail thin, white guy with long gray hair and long gray beard. Staring eyes. He's absolutely frightening if you never met him before. But he runs a private garage, and he tells you right up front, if you got a problem with him drinking beer while he works on your car, to get the hell out. And he's a great mechanic. He's an awesome mechanic.
Well, if I'm going to pay somebody to work on my car and put that kind of trust in him, I don't care how he does it. Yeah, you know, that's between him and the car. As long as it works when I turn the key, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'd hate a customer standing over my shoulder saying, don't do this way, do it that way. The hell with that. I know I was, you know, my father was a house painter, and I was painting radiators for him when I was 8 years old. And he had me painting every weekend in summer for the rest of my life, it seemed like. And the rest of my childhood, anyway. I know how bad a meddlesome customer can be, right?
Yeah.
Oh, you missed a spot here, Sonny. And you just want to take the bucket and hit the lady with it. Many old Jewish customers, my father hated them. But he couldn't turn down any work, so he didn't turn down the work. Didn't turn the jobs down.
Their money was just as green as anyone else's, right?
Yep. And he cursed about them all the time. So what else is going on in the world? I have a, on the Mind Comp site, Sword Brethren sent me a video today, and I posted it on the same page as, on the same post as last night's audio program. Last night's audio program, we talked about the International, and we saw how it was a propaganda piece injected into that, you know, the song, the International, the poem that they made into a song was a propaganda piece injected into the labor movement by the Jews to inject their philosophy into the labor movement when they took it over in the 1860s. And today, Sword Brethren sent me a video, a YouTube. I downloaded it and put it on a Mein Kampf site. It's a Scottish labor meeting of Scottish socialists, and they're singing the International, which is a straight propaganda scam from Karl Marx, and they're still singing it. And that video's on the Mein Kampf site, on the audio section, along with last night's program.
Oh, did you hear the Department of Defense is thinking about closing down Norfolk Naval Base? Norfolk
Ooh.
Naval Base.
Wow.
That's not a good sign.
That would eliminate 10,000 jobs in Virginia. At least 10,000.
Something like
6,000. Probably 20,000 jobs.
I think I read 6,000. Let me call up this article here.
Well, they're the direct jobs, right? And how many jobs are they? The loss of those 6,000 jobs in the community are going to cause the loss of 12,000 more outside the naval base.
Yeah, places like Mickey D's and whatnot, that Pizza Hut. Stuff like that depends on
on
car
sales coming out, and yeah,
car salesmen, Walmart. Insurance salesmen, cops, firemen, okay. Yeah, you know, all kinds of people are going to lose jobs. Schools, but when all those people move out of there, schools are going to close. There's a whole lot of things that'll affect.
Norfolk's a big deal, man. A big, big deal.
I was born because of Norfolk Naval Base.
Gates estimated the Virginia command accounts for 2,800 military and civilian positions, as well as 3,000 contractors, at an annual cost of at least $240 million. Then there's like what you were talking about, the, you know, the residual jobs. I know I lived in Guam. There was, let's see, Naval Station Guam, Naval Magazine Guam, Naval Air Station Guam, and Naval Hospital Guam. That was just the Navy boys. About 2 years after I left Guam, they folded the magazine and the air station into NAVSTAY, so that there were just two commands, NAVSTAY Guam and Naval Hospital Guam, and they cut a whole bunch of civilian jobs there, and that wrecked what passed for an economy, Guam, because the military is the biggest thing in Guam.
Well, the military is a huge welfare check for any community that has a base, right?
That's
the way it is. Pumps a lot of money from the rest of the taxpayers into that community all the time.
Big bargaining chip in the Congress too. You know.
Right. That the only thing better, the only thing that's better than a federal prison in your community is an Air Force base. Federal prisons do the same thing. That they take pristine white communities that are poor farming communities or rural communities, put federal prisons in them. Everybody hits pay dirt. And they get flooded with Negroes, and that's their payment for it.
All we really need to do is close down all those Italite bases in overseas, and
yeah, right. That's why we should be closing bases down, as in Korea, Germany, Japan.
It's a lie. Well, you know, also, where are you going to send all those freaks? I guess you're always going to deal with that. We'll deal with that one. Right time.
Yes, well, I just went to a farewell party Sunday for a young man, 18-year-old guy. I've known him all of his life. I went to school with his parents, going into the Navy about right now, getting up to Great Lakes this evening. And I was talking to his grandma, and she wasn't real happy about him going into the military, but she looked at me. She said, "What else is a young man going to do in this country these days?"
Right. You either make it on American Idol or you join the Marines.
Buying those lottery tickets until you hit it lucky. Yeah, right. Yeah, they're real hacked off about this in Virginia right now. Imagine.
Well, when Babylon really, actually, not theoretically or conceptually or according to some theory, but when Babylon actually does fall, those who aren't in him are going to be really very shocked. And either they'll, I don't know what to say. I really don't know what to say.
Well, like I said, when the end of this mess finally does come, that there's a lot of good white Christians that are going to be mad at God.
Well, you know, I always would have said, well, they're going to be very disappointed. But that's an interesting way of looking at it. They're going to be mad at God because he's not going to be doing what they've been told he's going to do. They're supposed to get raptured off first. What the hell? Supposed to go first.
Well, that's, you know, the Pharisees have found all kinds of creative ways to bar the gates to heaven, right? To bar the gates to the kingdom. It would be heaven if we weren't overrun by aliens and Jews. We would have heaven. Yeah, if you're coddled, the thing that the Jews don't understand is that they're destroying the only consumer economy. When white people don't have jobs, the world has no consumers. That's the element to their new world order that I think they're missing. Mexicans and Chinese and are not consumers. Pakistanis are not consumers. They do not like to that they have
not
no
producers.
Well, no, they don't produce, except they produce in the factories that we move over there at slave wages. But they don't buy the stuff. What's a Chinaman in a rice paddy gonna do with an iMac?
Yeah, that's a good point.
What's an Indian sitting in some slum in southern India going to do with a Dell laptop?
Well, that stuff's for us. That stuff is, you know,
but when we don't
pacified.
Have jobs, we can't buy it. And well, when we can't buy it, that there goes the Apple cart.
That's what I was talking about earlier. Yeah. You know, when the toys no longer pacify the white boy, you know, what's he going to do? Then he's going to wake up and realize how badly he's been screwed.
Yeah,
well, right. It's when he does, when he turns his TV on and there's no electricity, then he might wake up.
Yeah, the Jew and their arrogance is actually cutting their own throat.
Well, that's what I'm trying to explain. Yeah, Richtar, I think I know Genesis 3:15, but I'm talking from a secular viewpoint. The Jewish businessmen don't realize that, you know, that they're glorying about taking all the industry out of America, but when Americans have no jobs, they have no consumers.
That might be a good thing. Then people won't have sports and television.
Well, I think that's how Babylon's going to fall. I really do. I think that's how Babylon's going to fall. When enough whites are forced out of the system's just going to fall in on itself.
Bob in California's talking about he just had a conversation today with a rapturer. Yeah.
Intelligent conversation.
Yeah, I had one with it was about 2 months ago with one of these Bible thumping, pew jumping, Jesus friends talking about he was going to get raptured very soon. I told him, yeah, I believe you. I straight believe you. Tell him the rapture's already happened. Yeah, well, buddy, did you see the news? Hell, that happened last week. What are you still doing here?
Yeah, you and me, we're in the same boat. We're screwed.
Let me tattoo that barcode on your forehead.
I thought that would be funny.
I've been left behind. We should get some bumper stickers that say, I want to be left behind. Please, God, leave me behind. Sword Brethren sending me Skypes.
Well, why won't he come in the room and join us like normal white folk?
I just sent it to him on an open forum. Why don't you join us? There was a commercial on Discovery Channel about TV in Africa, and a black girl said, we watch TV at school. I learned many things I never knew. I don't know people had been to the moon. That's right. White Eve went to the moon while you were busy spreading HIV and having crack babies. Well, that's Sword Brethren's response to her.
You're busy sticking a stick down in the termite mound. White people went to the moon. Okay.
Yeah, right. Well, at least we claim we did.
Oh, I think we did.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to be honest. One thing that convinces me about the moon landing, I was 12 or 13 years old, and my uncle took me to the Smithsonian. He took me to my aunt's house in Maryland, and we stopped at the Smithsonian Museum for a day. We got the bum's rush because we only had one day there, and it's a huge place. But I was looking at this space capsule, this landing capsule, and I was like 12. And when I was 12, I was like 5'8 and weighed about 130 pounds maybe. And I'm looking at this space capsule thinking to myself that if I had a big puffy suit on, there was no way I was fitting into that little bitty hole.
Yeah. Well, I think they inflate the suits afterwards or something. I don't know. I'm not an expert on space flight.
Well, it was a tiny little hole. And I just thinking to myself, there ain't no way I'm crawling into that hole. At 5'8", 130 pounds, it ain't happening.
Well, I think about 5'8 was the maximum that astronauts could be back then, wasn't it? They had to be little bitty guys. I remember my dad pointing that out to me when I was a kid. Because, like, when I was a kid, I wanted to be an astronaut. You know, right at somewhere between fireman and cop, wound up being a sailor instead. And, you know, and he pointed, because I'm not a really huge guy. I'm 5'10 now, but nobody in our family is really big. And pointed out, you know, well, astronauts have to be really small guys to get in those spacecraft.
Yeah.
funny you guys are talking about space travel. I was watching the Discovery Channel here a moment ago, and they had a commercial
for TV. That's why we were talking about space travel.
Oh, okay. They had a commercial for TV in Africa, and some black girl said that they watch TV every day in school now, and she just found out that men had been to the moon. She said, I did not know people had gone to the moon, and I'm thinking, well, you weren't part of it. Well, you were out throwing spears at each other. Whitey was going to the moon.
Yeah, when she's running a stick down in the termite mound for her supper, we were going to the moon, yeah.
Bob in California, now he's an engineer. They bring a golf cart and a glove, a golf cart and a golf club to the moon, but not a telescope. Which is exactly what you would want on a moon. You would want a telescope on the moon, because there's no atmosphere. You can see anything. I mean, you know, the a 300-power telescope would be, man, so much more powerful on the moon than it would be here.
And there's no light pollution at all.
Right.
But isn't it absolutely amazing how none of the astronauts saw any stars at all? That's amazing.
Yeah.
I don't believe we went to the moon for a half a second, and I'm not even an engineer.
Well, I'm not an engineer either. I'm just a redneck. But I think if I were going to fake a moon landing, I'd put some stars up in the sky. That'd be kind of on my list of top 10 things to put on the set, was have some stars in the sky.
Well, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to look at the Holohulks either to figure out that there wasn't one person gassed.
It's a divisive issue whether or not we went to the moon, and none of us will really know until we see the proof or lack of proof, right?
But, you know, black people, they mock us for the moon landing. You remember that one poem from the 70s, Whitey on the Moon?
No.
There was actually a black guy who made like a beatnik type rap hip hop poetry song, Whitey on the Moon.
I remember Walking on the Moon. That was a stupid song from the 70s.
Michael Jackson's Moonwalk.
This was by Jill Scott Herone. I'll find the lyrics here and read it for you.
That was the Police, wasn't it? Walking on the Moon or something.
Yeah, it was Sting.
Here, he writes, a rat done bit my sister Nell with Whitey on the moon. Her face and arms began to swell, and Whitey's on the moon. I can't pay no doctor bill, but Whitey's on the moon. 10 years from now, I'll be paying still while Whitey's on the moon. The man just upped my rent last night, because Whitey's on the moon. No hot water, no toilets, no lights, but Whitey's on the moon. I wonder why he upping me, because Whitey's on the moon. I was already paying 50 a week with Whitey on the moon. Taxes take my whole damn check. Junkies making me a nervous wreck. The price of food is going up, and as if all that shit wasn't enough, a rat done bit my sister Nell with Whitey on the moon. Her face and arms began to swell with Whitey on the moon. Was all that money I made last year for Whitey on the moon? How come there ain't no money here? Whitey's on the moon. I know just about had my fill of Whitey on the moon. I think I'll send these doctor bills, airmail special, to Whitey on the moon.
Well, if it upset the Negroes that much, I think I like the idea.
That real well, man. I like that.
And I mean, that's
so it's sort of the next landing. Eminem, the next great white rapper, right?
Yeah. What was that white Ice? I remember him. He's a white rapper.
Oh, Vanilla Ice.
That was his name.
How come the two top rappers are whites? Well, what's up with that?
Well, if he's so tore up about it, we could have sent his black ass to the moon. Left
would have been nice. In a garbage can. Launch that sucker with an M80 or something. A hand grenade. Hand grenade in a garbage can. That would work for me.
Moon cricket on the moon.
Didn't they send a chimp to space?
Yeah, the first... Actually, the... Yeah, you're right, Stephen. The first space traveler was black.
I couldn't resist.
No, that's a good way to look at it. I mean, that's absolutely true. Oh, the first one was a dog Virkado. All right, so the first space traveler was a Jew, and the second one was black.
Yeah, Lake of the Dog. I remember reading about that.
You know, the Soviets had no intention of bringing that dog back. They just left it up in space to die, didn't they?
I have no idea.
Remember, Bill?
I don't remember. That was long before my time. I'm sorry. I can't remember that long ago. How old do you think I am?
Well, you're younger than my dad, but my dad remembers the whole moon crisis.
Is your father 50? Is your father 50?
52, 53.
Oh, you're a late in life baby.
Yeah, my dad was 20. I think my mom was 24, 23 when they had me.
You guys are having too much fun.
Hello, Robert. Yeah, you wanted to do that. Yeah, I heard you wanted to do a duet with Brian on that Whitey on the Moon.
That was pretty good, the Whitey on the Moon.
I think you did a good job on that.
Yeah. I had a conversation with one of the guys that made the moon buggy. That was pretty funny. Down in a company in Anaheim, near Disneyland. And I asked him flat out, whether he thought we went to the moon or not. He believed we did, and I told him to his face, I said, I didn't think we went to the moon.
Hmm.
He said, well, I designed the moon buggy to work on the moon, but he told me it was so compartmentalized that there was really no way of being able to say for sure that it happened. Jews have lied to us about everything else. I find it hard to believe we did go to the moon, though.
Yeah, right, and that's credible, but, yeah, you know, it's hard to believe that these NASA... that these Houston space control workers just were going through all these motions and didn't realize that they were being put one over on.
Yeah, well, look what happened on 9/11. The whole thing was, and that's modern. They pulled the wool over the whole NORAD.
Well, they ordered NORAD to stand down. Didn't Cheney issue the order, stand down, NORAD?
Well, there was a stand down on, yes, but they had all those war games going on. And the Jews were running those war games directly from the Pentagon.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're the ones that actually take care of the computer system there.
And what a big coincidence, how convenient. On the same day 9/11 happens, they're running a war game for an aircraft being flown into the Pentagon.
Yeah, they were running, I think, 18 separate war games.
And they had all but two F-16s were deployed elsewhere, mostly in the Midwestern Canada for maneuvers.
They
only had two F-16s defending the entire eastern seaboard.
I don't think it'd be very difficult to make a movie about going to the moon the 1960s technology. I mean, goodness gracious, give me a break. We were barely coming out of the vacuum tube era at that time. I'd like to launch some of these Jews to the moon. That'd be a great solution.
Yeah, but Jews can't go to heaven.
Have you ever heard of a Jewish astronaut?
No.
Yeah, there was a Jew on the space shuttle that blew up over Texas.
I was going to say, I don't think there'd be a Jewish astronaut, because having to be cooped up with a Jew for 6 months, the other people would probably kill him, jettison him, and say he got sucked out into space.
That's probably what happened.
I had to live with one for 4 months, so I can only imagine.
At least one Jew went to heaven, but he didn't come back. Well, he came back. He came back in pieces over Oklahoma.
Yeah, there's been five Jewish astronauts. Gregory Chemetov, Jeffrey Hoffman, David Wolf, Elon Raymond, and Garrett Reisman.
David Wolf, I thought he was a food guy.
Well, apparently he went on the special in his spare time.
Oh, Bill, did you know Nation of Islam has taught for a long time that Armageddon will be when blacks using a spaceship and orbital weapons platforms circle the Earth using laser beams to kill Whitey in city after city. And when I told my dad this, his first question was, how do blacks get a spaceship?
Oh, that was the comment I was going to make earlier, Sword Brethren.
Hmm.
When Bill was talking about the fact that the whites would stop purchasing stuff and that would eventually cause the fall. The problem is when the whites stop contributing to businesses and making an economy go by just putting their intellectual property into the world, it's over.
Well,
you're not going to get that from blacks, and you're not going to get it from Jews.
Coalition in East Africa, Kenya, Uganda, and I think Rwanda, Tanzania, they're saying that they need to put an African in orbit on an African spaceship. And the leader, I think in Uganda, said that he wants to make a pact with the leader of Kenya, Burundi, Rwanda, and a few other East African states. He said it's time for an African to go into orbit.
I agree. Let's send them all into orbit.
Yeah. Straight into the sun. Let them orbit
the
sun.
My mom's dad, once we sat down at Thanksgiving, and his version of grace was what was it? He said, trigger the nigger, ship the coon to the moon, and when he gets there, you can say the jig is up.
You got to patent some of this stuff. This is great stuff.
Yeah, that should be on a website. So you should have that on your blog, Sword Brother,
for the black version of NASA.
Yeah, that's almost one of the the rapper. Yeah, that could be some kind of rapping song there.
Well, I've been to Kenya several times, and I'm here to testify.
Yeah, you know, we never advertise.
Those niggers, they couldn't even build an automobile, let alone put a nigger in orbit. So.
Well, I doubt they could build a bicycle.
Yeah, you're probably right.
My dad said what will happen is a white country will build them a space shuttle and then build them the platform to move it to the launching pad, build the launching pad, launch it for them, and they'll just have astronauts on board that are told exactly what to do and what buttons to press, and it'll still probably blow up when they press the wrong button.
Yeah, they'll screw it up somehow. Have no doubt. They'll screw it up.
But it's going to be a white engineering firm that goes over there, builds everything. They push the launch button, claim the credit, and then it'll blow up and they'll blame us.
Well, that's the problem right now. Everything that these people get, we give them. We're the idiots.
And then they wreck it and they blame us.
Yeah, and then they blame us for them wrecking. I know. It's absolutely unfathomable to me what's going on at this point.
A hurricane hits, you put blacks in a trailer, they shoot holes in the wall, and then they yell at Whitey because there's holes in the wall.
Well, then they yell at Harp, too. Harp's doing it. You know, the Whitey's doing through Harp. I'm sure they have better things to do than blow up Haiti. Haiti was blown up before anything hit it.
Haiti's basically the armpit of the Western Hemisphere, and this being generous. I'm just saying that because I don't want to say what it really is, because I think there might be women in the room.
It's a lovely metropolis.
It's the latrine trench of the Western Hemisphere.
What is? I missed that. Sorry.
Haiti.
Oh, Haiti? Well.
Yeah, when I was in college, I think they were trying to convince people to go on mission trips to places like Haiti, Ecuador, Colombia, and somebody said, do you want to go? And I said, well, I'd rather not get chopped to pieces by machete, you know, chopped up by a machete by some savage while I'm there trying to, you know, give them misguided assistance. So, no, I won't go to Haiti unless it's with a rifle and at the head of some kind of military unit for big money.
Actually, when I was in college, the Baptists were doing missionary trips to Canada.
Hmm. Yeah, I think they had some. They went to West Virginia, but I'm not sure what they were going there for. It was Jesuits, and I think they were going there to preach Catholicism to rural-dwelling Baptists.
Oh, I bet that went over real well.
They said that they're going there to render aid, though. I wonder, when they go to these countries and they're talking to all these voodoo people, do they actually try and evangelize, or do they just give them, you know, free stuff courtesy of the white man?
I'll say this. It really depends on what denomination you're talking about. I know for a fact that the Methodists, which I used to be, would send evangelical trips into the deep jungle, and what they would do was they would build a hospital, build a school, okay, get the people on their good side, and then they'd build a church, and they'd say, hey, we're going to church over here on Sunday. If you'd like to come along, you're welcome. Whereas the Baptists were going in there building a church and saying, you got to repent, you got to believe, and give up your heathen ways, and they were getting macheted to death and couldn't figure out why. Now, I do know that difference between those two denominations in their approach toward Afro-evangelism.
Well, you know, they've been massacring those missionary hospital places for years.
Good.
You know, during the Rhodesian War, the Catholic Church repeatedly covered up massacre after massacre. Several Catholic missions were massacred, hundreds killed throughout Rhodesia, and the Catholic Church just kept concealing the fact and sending more nuns and more priests in, and nuns were getting raped and beheaded, and priests were getting beheaded. And the Catholic Church just kept concealing it because they didn't want to make the Mugabe's supporters look like savages, and they didn't want to fuel racism, they said.
Well, actually, that's probably improved the genetic stock of the white race.
Yeah.
But not like those Catholics are going to have kids anyway, though.
Well, yeah, my goodness. You know, you're sending over people like that. That's what disturbs me right now beyond anything that's going on is we have an incredible group of white enemies, arch-enemies, in these churches right now, evangelizing to criminals and then bringing them back into this country to genetically destroy the white race.
The sort of people that become nuns can't really have good survival instincts to begin with, or else they wouldn't want to belong to an order that tells them you can never get married and have a family.
Well, yeah, that's got to
be something wrong with them.
There's a lot of Presbyterian churches doing the same thing. Not just, I mean, Protestant.
I don't know a whole lot about that, though, since my mother, I think, is either was raised United Church of Christ or Methodist, but she's gone to a number of them, you know, the mainline Protestant churches over the years, but I was basically raised Catholic.
Well, you know, in the 1800s, 1700s maybe, the idea that winning souls for Christ, as if God couldn't get them himself, right? Mm-hmm. That came into vogue as a noble endeavor to fight the battle and win souls for Christ. And
well, why does he need anybody that wins souls for him? Because what was it he told Peter, that flesh and blood have not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven?
Well, right. And the whole salvation army mentality, I mean, I think the Jews really pumped that up. And they built themselves an army of Christian Zionists that they'll do anything.
God can't win it, so we have to go win it for him.
Right, and that's a sick idea.
Or these idiots that say every knee will bow, and we have to make every knee bow and every tongue confess, like God couldn't do that.
Right.
And all these people that minister to the Jews, you know, what, you know, Jesus Christ in the physical presence, you know, in the person, in the flesh, didn't convert a single Jew, didn't try to, didn't preach to them. So what are all these Christians doing going off talking to the Jews?
You know, I wonder if God would have brought a telescope to the moon. Oh, sorry. I just deviated from the whole thing.
Maybe a telescopic sight so he could rain down lightning bolts on Jews.
Well, I put a plug for your blog in, Chris DeGhenny, in the TeamSpeak, because we never plug your blog, right?
Excellent.
I think you're trying to keep it hidden on purpose or something. There is a link to it on my projects page.
Sword Brethren Unplugged. Raps about Whitey on the Moon.
Yeah, you got to put that on your blog, Brian. Yeah. You got to put Whitey on the Moon.
Can you actually sing that for us?
It was a song. Would you want it sang?
Yeah, I think you can sing it.
No, I don't
Bill,
think
what do you
should.
Think?
What, with a David Bowie, a fake David Bowie voice.
No, he's
I don't know. Who's that?
David Bowie? He's a real wacko.
Ground Control Major Tom. He's a faggot and he's a quarter Jew, too.
Oh, okay.
Is he quarter Jew?
Yeah, he's part Jewish, David Bowie.
Major Tom,
Ziggy surprised.
Stardust. I remember when he was popular. They had an interview with him on there, and he stated in the interview that he doesn't remember writing or singing Ziggy Stardust album. He was so high on drugs.
I don't know what it is with Firefox, but Firefox is having problems with YouTube for me lately. Internet Explorer 7's been going better. 8 is garbage. I had to uninstall 8 and go back to 7. My latest Firefox update, it really kicks my butt when I try and use YouTube now.
I just put a link to the video happening. You sent me. I just put a link to the video you sent me in the chat, Brian. That's the Scottish Socialist thing in the International, yeah. If you have the words to that, if you could zap me to email me the words to that you read, it ain't a big deal, but I'll put them in the post too.
I mean, the International, what a garbage song.
Yeah, it's straight garbage.
All the socialist communist anthems, the Soviet anthem, you know, it says, "Long live our Soviet motherland, built by the people's mighty hand. Long live our nation, united and free." It never mentions God at all. It never mentions any higher power. And it obviously wasn't united and free. It was disunited and held together at bayonet point. I mean, I asked my dad. I played him the Soviet anthem sung by that Negro, Paul Robeson, who, by the way, they're naming high schools after now in Chicago and the Boston and Baltimore area. He had the Stalin Peace Prize, the Lenin Peace Prize, and I think they made him a hero of the Soviet Union. He's singing this in English. And I asked my dad, you know, what do you think of these lyrics? And he said it's the most hypocritical song he's ever heard.
Right, absolutely. If it comes out of the mouth of a Jew, it has to be nothing but hypocrisy.
Do you want me to read the Soviet anthem for you?
Well, I don't know if everybody wants to suffer through it, but if you could do it to the tune of Whitey on the Moon, that'd be great. Okay, go ahead.
Soviet anthem at a tune of Whitey.
I'll pass on the Kai crap, thank you.
I mean, especially the part where they say that Stalin, our leader, with faith in the people, inspired us to build up the land that we love. More like Stalin, their leader, enslaved all the people.
Yeah, and killed about a third of them. There's a copy of Jim Jones singing the Soviet national anthem, right? Isn't that what
exactly.
that is?
I said, can you put it on your site? And, you know, whenever those losers out there say that Jim Jones was a Christian, I say, well, here he is saying that the Soviet Union is their spiritual motherland. They're the only free country in the world. And then he raises his hand in the air, you know, the clenched fist, the socialist fist, and he sings the Soviet anthem. His wife joins in. And then I quote, you know, where Jim Jones, one of his parishioners is interviewed. He says that Jim Jones took out a Bible, shouted, "This black book has held back black people for 400 years, and I'm going to show you it has no power." He took the Bible and he heaved it across the room. It landed on the floor, and then he shouted, "Have I been struck down by a bolt of lightning?" And then he shouted, "There's no one up there. No one's going to come out of the sky and save you. There's no heaven up there. We're going to have to make heaven down here. The only hope of glory is within you." That's straight up secular humanism, communism, atheism, isn't it?
Well, absolutely. Worshipping the image of the beast in just another way.
And another one of Jim Jones's congregation members said that Jones once walked up to him and said, "If you want me to beep you in the ass, just ask and I'll do it, because I swing that way." That's what the guy, and the guy just said to him, you know, he was real uneasy because he said that he was into, you know, free love and taking some acid, but he wasn't gay and he had a wife. And he just said, "Thanks, Jim, I'll keep that in mind." And he said that he was really uncomfortable after that.
They probably stayed in the congregation, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that would be a sign that you should probably leave, right?
Oh, not today. That's
they kicked Jim Jones out of the Methodist Church.
Jim Jones's father was supposedly a Klansman, so clearly the apple fell far from the tree.
Yeah. Jim Jones was a student pastor, if I recall correctly, in the Methodist Church. Now, this was before the United Methodist Church was founded. Well, I know he was in the Methodist Church because it's well known. To become a Methodist minister, you had to go through a psych exam and failed it.
Mm-hmm. I think his father was Methodist, but he came from the Pentecostal charismatic movement, Jones did, because I think he got washed out, like you said, of other movements.
Yeah.
And I originally thought as a youth that Jim Jones was some crazy fundamentalist Protestant, and he was some doomsday cult member. And
that's how you pushed it.
Yeah, the media's pushed this image for decades, and then I dug deeper, and I found that he made appeals. He wanted to move his entire congregation to the Soviet Union, but when they started denouncing Stalin, he said that the Soviet Union had betrayed communism and betrayed Marxism. He then said that the only free country left in the world was North Korea. He wanted to move his congregation there, and then North Korea had a falling out with him, and at that point in time, that was when the mass suicide came about. He called it a revolutionary suicide. He openly admitted that he was an atheist, so how could he have been a preacher? He was just an atheist. He was basically like the cult of reason, the church of reason. He was no different than Robespierre. He said that, in fact, he even said that he was going to enter the church to destroy the church, and that he would show his Marxism by weakening Christianity. It says right here, quote, "How can I demonstrate my Marxism? The thought was infiltrate the church," end quote. It says that he was active, he was a Methodist superintendent, or wait, he was surprised when a Methodist superintendent helped him to get a start in a church, even though the Methodist knew Jones to be a communist. Jones did not meet him through the American Communist Party, however. He became a student pastor in Somerset Southside Methodist Church, but left after the leaders barred him from integrating blacks into the party. Uh-huh. It's here that he began to witness faith healings with Seventh-day Baptists. He observed that it attracted people and their money and concluded that with financial resources from such healings, he could help accomplish his social goals. He sold pet monkeys door to door to raise funds for his church. I thought they outlawed slavery. Says he moved away from the American Communist Party and the Maoists when the American Communist Party and Mao Zedong became critical of some of the policies of Joseph Stalin. He was a hardcore Stalinist. He claimed that his father was a Klansman, drunk, and who frequently beat him and his mother. He also claimed partial Cherokee ancestry, which seems false since his mother was in Indiana, and I don't think there were a whole lot of Cherokees in Indiana.
Well, they all claim Cherokee, man. If they want to be an Indian, that's the first one that,
you know,
comes to mind.
You never hear any of them saying, like, you know, the Sioux or the Cree. It's always Cherokee, Cherokee, Cherokee.
Yep.
Yeah, that's something I've always pointed out. You know,
somebody in Vermont will claim Cherokee ancestry.
And you ask them where the Cherokee were. They said, I think they were in Vermont. And I say, well, the last I heard, they were in Tennessee until they were booted out in Alabama, Georgia, and then they were sent packing to Oklahoma on that trail of tears you left us always bellyache about. And I once said to a friend of mine, I said, you know what the sad part about the trail of tears was? Why there was crying, and he said, why? And I said, because they didn't get enough fire water. You know, someone once told me this at Indian style. I took a bottle of whiskey and laid in the gutter. You like that one, Bill? Is that blog material or T-shirt material? I mean, I really like what Andrew Jackson did when the Supreme Court invalidated the Indian Removal Act. I forget who the Chief Justice was at the time, but Jackson referred to him by name and said, Chief Justice so-and-so has made his ruling, now let him enforce it. And you'll never see a president today that has that kind of wherewithal, will you?
Well, right.
The Supreme Court's wrong. I mean, if I'd have been president in 1954, I could have said, you know, the Frankfurter Court that struck down segregation with Brown v. Board. Frankfurter's made his ruling. Let him enforce it.
Yep. Absolutely. But politicians have no gumption, no balls anymore. They don't stand up for what they believe in. That they, as soon as they get opposition, they fold, roll over, and lick their nuts.
You know, Jan Brewer in Arizona should say, okay, this, you know, that federal judge has made their ruling tough. What are they going to do? I've got the state guard. They've got three bodyguards. My army's
right.
Bigger.
Let them invade. Let them invade Arizona.
Oh, that was
Arizona's already been invaded by Mestizos. You know what I mean?
They sent
I would
a
just
federal
say,
army. That would be interesting, wouldn't it? If they sent a federal army to help enforce illegal immigration.
Yep.
That would really send a message to people in the
U.S.
I
bet you a lot of
well, yes, it would, and that's why Arizona should stand tall, but they probably won't.
No,
they should
because
force a crisis.
Yeah, but it's a big game. She's just doing that for the Jew. The whole thing is a big play for the Jew.
Jockeying.
Yeah.
Well, they sent federal troops here to Arkansas, to Central High, to enforce integration, and no one white in the South wanted that. And as I've lovingly reminded some of the jerk-offs here in this town who were about teenagers or early 20s about that time, y'all rolled over and did nothing. And because of your incompetence and your ballersness, I had to go to school with niggers.
And you know, all those soldiers from the, what was it, the 101st in Little Rock, or was it the 82nd?
101st.
When they were there, at, you know, at bayonet point, forcing those eight Negroes into the school so they could run on white women, those soldiers should have just said, we're not going to do this. And when the federal government said, we're nationalizing the State Guard should have just said, come and do it. If you want to nationalize this, Kuykenhauer, come on down and do it. We got a bayonet for you.
Well, you know, there's an aspect to that whole story that nobody talks about, but Dale Bumpers, former senator from Arkansas and a former governor of Arkansas, he brings it up in his autobiography. A lot of people don't know. One of the reasons Orville Faubus, the governor, called out the National Guard originally is because there were armed white people on their way to Little Rock, civilians. There was fixing to be a gunfight in the streets over this whole thing. And he had been talking to Eisenhower for like 2 weeks about this before Eisenhower finally sent in the 101st over to restore order. There is that aspect to the whole thing. A lot of people don't know about that. You won't see it
Faubus
on the history.
Was not a hardcore segregationist, was he? Faubus basically just wanted to maintain law and order and keep the peace.
Faubus wanted to get reelected.
Hmm.
That's it. And he was running with the segregationist crowd because
as
they
a career
were the
move.
Ones. Yeah, as a career move. He really was a politician more than anything. As far as him being a segregationist, yeah.
But back really. Then, if you took an integrationist stance, you were going to lose because the other guy would just take a segregationist stance.
Right.
So whoever was the biggest in terms of segregation would win. You would die
yeah,
segregation
yeah.
The other guy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, Faubus was just looking for another term in the governor's mansion, looking to avoid open bloodshed on the streets. That wouldn't look good in re-election time.
Well, it would always look better than capitulation.
Yeah, well, in the world of politics, it probably wouldn't. I'm not a politician, so what the hell do I know?
Well, I think Governor Rhodes in Ohio won re-election after Kent State.
He said he was going to send in the guard and they weren't going to tolerate any communist agitation. And he said that outside agitators from other states, such as New York and California, were in Ohio stirring up a ruckus. I have to wonder why the governors of, you know, certain states didn't help the governors in other states. Yep, Governor Rhodes served in several terms even after Kent State. What he said about the campus protesters, I guess he was kind of a neocon in this regard. He said they're worse than the brown shirts and the communist element, the night riders and the vigilantes. They're the worst types of people we harbor in America, referring to the campus protesters.
Maybe they needed shooting.
Well, I had a professor in college. We were talking about Kent State in class. I raised my hand, she called on me, and I said, the only thing that I can see as regrettable is that those guardsmen were pretty poor shots. They fired, what, 80-plus rounds and only killed 4 people? And I said they should have at least managed 30 or 40. And then she said that her mom's friend was one of the people who was wounded, and that didn't change my opinion. I just said, you know, agitators are agitators. If you don't want to get shot, don't burn down the ROTC barracks.
I hear rumors. I don't know if they're true or not. I hear rumors that it was actually civilians that shot those people, and the guard took the weight for it because the media played it up that the guard did it. I don't know if that's true or not.
Supposedly, a civilian did fire the first shot, or an agent provocateur. There was somebody on the scene who had a revolver who was identified as some kind of COINTELPRO asset who opened fire, and at that point, the guard formed a skirmish line and basically opened fire as well because they freaked out because somebody had fired a shot at them. But there's actually recordings, you know, that they've enhanced, and you can hear the guard are instructed to get in a line and open fire. But it sounds like that there are shots before then. Something's going on. They said that they were afraid that they were going to be overrun. But isn't that how it always happens? Whenever there's any kind of protest, things get pushed over the edge, usually by infiltrators and provocateurs, like the anti-WTO protests in Seattle. The government brought in a bunch of police and provocateurs, dressed them in black, and had them smash up shops, and then they said, oh my, anarchy in Seattle, send in the police.
Yeah, and then they put them up in a hotel after that.
In Canada, there were some protests, I think it was nationalists and some anti-corporatist types, and they were busted up after people started destroying property, and someone pointed out that all the people who were destroying property were wearing a certain type of boot, and it was a standard police-issue boot. Someone actually saw the sole of one of the boots, and they saw a mark on it, and they traced it to the company, and that company makes all the boots for the provincial police in that province. You know, that's just a coincidence. You know, the so-called anarchists were all wearing police-issue boots.
Yeah, and those same anarchists in Seattle, Brian, they showed up in Washington, D.C. at another protest a couple weeks later, the same ones. All their bosses will have something to answer to soon.
Well, Bill, you'll be glad to know that the number one most downloaded distro of Linux over the last 6 months is, in fact, Ubuntu.
Well, yeah, Ubuntu is by far the most popular Linux. That they all swallow down that African motivage.
Mint
Linux Mint is Linux Mint is basically Ubuntu without the Negroes.
All right, Bill,
you know, I downloaded the ISO
coming
for
up.
That, but I never had to cut the disk yet.
Okay, here we go, Bill. Recently, the governments of several East African nations have been discussing the possibility of an African going to the moon via an African space program. Doubtlessly, this will mean that a white nation will produce the shuttle, the boosters, and everything else associated with the rocket, move it into place on the launching pad that they will likewise have built, and then launch it. Perhaps they'll let a Kenyan, perhaps an Obama, press the launch button. However, when the African astronauts, coming from a people who have never invented the wheel, do something wrong and cause the shuttle to explode, Whitey will doubtlessly take the blame.
Well, what I think is going to happen is that you'll see China build it.
Or maybe they'll have a witch doctor bless the whole thing so it should go off without a hitch.
Well, they were doing tests several years ago to find out if it's possible to go to the moon, and that the Chinese were going to attempt it. This is what I heard in 2020, something like that. But they had to run a bunch of tests to see if it's possible to go there, see?
How do I embed a YouTube video on my blog, or do I have to just link to it?
Just take the embed code from YouTube and put it right into your post. That there should be a way to put it right into your post on WordPress. It's easy.
No. Okay.
Been a long time since I've used WordPress.
Just use the embed code, okay.
Yeah, just copy the embed code and stick it right in your post. There might be some tags on a WordPress text editor or something that you have to use, though.
And then I'll say, what's the best theory for black space travel? Screw the niggers, ship the coon to the moon, and when he gets there, you can say the jig is up. That's t-shirt material, isn't it?
Yeah, that's actually pretty good. That's pretty funny.
My mom's dad came up with that. He said it, like I said, at Thanksgiving. That was like his version of grace. He just says things like that. You know, he'll just sit down and he'll say, spooks come out at night and they say, look into my eyes, white boy. What do you see? And then he'll respond, eyeballs. They're talking about including South Africa space program. Doubtlessly it'll be a white South African, or it'll be a white firm building a ship for a Kaffir, and they'll claim an African is on the moon. Bill, do you know a good way to dispose of kerosene?
Dispose of kerosene? Burn it.
Yeah, because I've been using kerosene. I got the SKS bugs. I've been getting a lot of SKSs lately, and they're greasy as can be. They're in great shape, though, but I'm degreasing with kerosene, and when I'm done, my dad just says, you know, either throw it in the yard or dump it in the street and wash it down the sewer.
Well, I wouldn't throw it in the yard, but I think the best way to dispose of it would be to burn the damn stuff. Wow, I mean, do you live in a place where you get well water? You definitely don't want to put it in the yard.
No, we're all on city water here, but we're not in the city. We're in an unincorporated township. I'm just concerned if I burn it, someone's probably going to call the deputies. If I have a fire going in my yard.
Give it to somebody with a kerosene heater.
I don't have a kerosene heater. I was thinking of getting one.
Kerosene heater, kerosene lamp. You could store it in a metal container for practically indefinitely, right? I mean, for a long time anyway.
Now how would you get rid of ammonia?
I don't know why I would have ammonia.
Well, I use ammonia when I'm cleaning out after corrosive ammo. I use a lot of corrosive ammo from the ConBlock countries. Their surplus is almost all corrosive. And when I get a gun from the ConBlock countries, I assume that it had corrosive through it, and I clean it with ammonia the first time. And my dad is going to throw that in the yard, too.
MacDog's saying take it to AutoZone, which might work because they use, you know, they take antifreeze.
Mm-hmm. I don't have a diesel vehicle, but I've been thinking of getting a diesel generator. I'm kind of sold on a Briggs & Stratton generator. I'm not sure, though, whether I want to go with diesel or gas. And I'm thinking there's got to be a better solution than just dumping it in the yard or throwing it in the driveway and washing it down into the street.
Well, I can tell you one thing you can do with kerosene, theoretically, is you can mix it with a bag of ammonium nitrate. Prop it up next to your local synagogue, detonate. Not that I advocate that sort of thing, of course, but, you know, you're
there's only one synagogue in a 10-mile radius.
Well, it shouldn't be hard to find.
It's a synagogue in the nearby city, and I didn't know there were enough Jews to warrant a synagogue, but apparently there are, but most of them don't bother going to synagogue.
I think you need nine Jewish men, I think.
Well, there are, you know, I'm in this town of 7,500 people, maybe, and there's a synagogue in town, and it's a beautiful old brick building, and it's like a private house, right? It looks like a big. There's a lot of big private houses that line the main road here, that were built maybe 100 years ago, and it's all brick, and it's a beautiful old building, but it had to be originally a synagogue. When they built it 100 years, because it has a Star of David in the brickwork. Yeah, you know, built into the brickwork of the building. That there's a big Star of David right above the first floor door entrance. And the Star of David is designed into the brick, as part of the brick.
There's a town nearby, maybe 15, 20 miles down the road. They've got a mall with a Saks Fifth Avenue, a Nordstrom, all those stores. The place has a dress code. It's in a 95 to 98% Jewish town. You'll see all the shops, you know, Boris's Fine Furs, you know, Murray's Kosher Deli. They have Israeli flags in the windows. That's where that Jan and Arena Saint-Novsky got arrested for fraud. That's on your website.
Yeah.
I sent a link and you posted it. And they say that the town is 95% Russian. since they say that Russian and Yiddish are the two main languages. Well, Yiddish has nothing to do with Russia.
Nope. There's some Russian words in it, and some Polish, and some German, and some Arabic, and some Turkic.
It's a suburb of Cleveland for the Jews that are too damn good to live in Cleveland since they ruined Cleveland 50 years ago.
Well, evidently there's enough rich Jews in this this little town to warrant an original synagogue.
Hmm.
Because that house is at least 75 years old.
Some people in certain areas don't know that their area has a history of Jewish population. For instance, Galveston, Texas was basically the Manhattan of the South. It had a stock exchange in 1900. It was 15 to 20% Jewish. All the Jews, many Jews were transiting through there to get into the South, and then the hurricane changed all that. It wiped out Galveston, took out their stock exchange, and that was the end of it.
Galveston was a big port of entry for Jews into this country in the late 1800s. There's an article, Barnes reviewed it on that about 10 years ago. I have it somewhere.
There is a town in Alabama that has a few hundred Jews, and there's some Jewish committee that says there's not enough there to make it sustainable. So they're offering $50,000 to any Jew or Jewish family who will move there as long as you sign a contract to live there for at least 3 or 4 years, and they'll also get you an interest-free mortgage. They give you $50,000 in cash.
I was talking to Brett. It's too bad he ain't here. I was talking to Brett about that here on TeamSpeak this afternoon. I was telling Brett that there was a town in Alabama where some Jew lived, some wealthy Jew that wanted to attract more Jews to the town.
Yes.
He was offering, that's on my forum too somewhere,
so I suppose. Maybe I should slap on a beanie, go down there and say, "Oy vey, I'm here to accept your offer." And they say, "Are you a Jew?" And I say, "Where's the $50,000? And they say, "Okay, you're in. You're one of us." You know, do you have a bar mitzvah?
Well, yeah, but he has some strings attached. You have to live there for so many years and 5 years or something like that. He's got some strings attached to that deal. I don't think a Jew's going to give away money without a couple of strings, right?
Okay, I'm trying to do the embedding.
And probably three or four rubber bands.
The embedding is not going to work that way. Can I just do it like I would do it on a forum? Take the everything after the equal sign and then bracket YT, bracket slash YT?
I have a WordPress blog somewhere. It's on the old. It's on the old Chris DeGenius site.
All right, I'm gonna try it with the brackets. I don't think I could tolerate living around Jews for 5 years, even for $50,000. Well,
oh, you know, I dismantled it when I put my new server up.
When I
the old
on
Chris DeGenius blog is gone.
I was surrounded by that 95% Jewish community with mayor. First mayor was, I think, Goldstein. The second mayor was Rothschild. I mean, you go in for the elections, and I voted in the local elections because I lived there and worked there, and I was concerned about tax issues. I just want to vote for mayor because I go in and the candidates are Goldstein, Rothschild, Silverman, and I'm like, okay, well, I can pick, you know, Saint and Lucifer or Baal. I'm going to skip this part. Just vote on the local tax issues and leave.
Hey, Sword Brethren, take a look at that link I just dropped in the chat.
Okay, I'll check that out momentarily. Here, give me a second.
My old blog is still here. I didn't know my old log was still here, but it is. Now, how the heck do I log into it so I could get the embed code for this YouTube?
Well, if y'all look at that link I just dropped in, you'll know how.
Oh, okay. Victor did it for you.
Yeah, I didn't drop that in for shits and giggles. I was trying to answer your problem.
Okay, so just take the link as it is and then paste it into the URL field.
No, take the link and paste it into your browser so you can look up how to do it.
Okay, hold on. I gotta close some of these browsers. I probably have 10 or 11 browsers open right now.
Well, I'll never remember the password to my old blog anyway.
And your blog's dashboard of the posts?
Well, my blog's on my site now. I haven't messed with this in almost a year. I'm surprised it's still up. I thought I took it down.
I've got an add video button. Oh, so I do. I've got an add video button. I didn't know my blog had that.
Well, that should be where you put the embed code.
Okay. Yeah, I'm mad my alarm didn't go off today.
Because I'm sure it requires some tags.
I went to bed around 4, vowed to get up around 10. My alarm didn't go off, and I wound up just waking up when I was done being tired instead of getting up at 10. And I accomplished substantially less than I wanted to. But at least I got my guns cleaned. So some Scandinavian white nationalist types, Odinists, pagans, people that trash identity as being wannabe Jews, tried to drag me into a Skype chat and said, I don't know why you guys invite me. You know I'm an Israelite identist and you people are just basically mainstream garbage. You live in a society where they teach five-year-olds how to use condoms and they're all for feminism and girls going with girls and you don't really see an issue with that because you're all pagans and Odinists. And then said, oh, so you're too good to talk to us. And I said, well, I'm an Israelite identist. Why the hell do you want to talk to me? What do you hope to gain? And they had nothing to say and then I just left.
Here's the code to put a YouTube in. Oh, no, I'll do it over here. I'll do it in my bill window. The code to put the YouTube in my blog in WordPress. So you just take out your link and your YouTube, this YouTube link, and put yours in it. And put it right in the post, just like that.
Okay, I think I found it. Video URL, got it. Whitey on the Moon. Okay, I'm going to do the preview.
Is that what you're putting on your on your blog, Whitey on the Moon?
Yeah, you said to do Whitey on the Moon. I mean, it'll be change we can believe in. It'll be a queen on the moon instead of Whitey on the moon.
Yeah.
I mean, how's Obama going to get a Negro to go to the moon? He's going to say, brother, you heard that the moon was made out of cheese. Well, no, it's made out of watermelon. He'll have no shortage of volunteers. One thing I've noticed, have you observed that blacks cannot swim?
Well, yeah, that's becoming knowledge. That there were, all my life we knew that blacks couldn't swim where I grew up. Negroes couldn't swim.
It didn't embed the video, but it embedded the URL with the video. I wanted it to embed the actual video. You know what I mean? The box.
That code I gave you? I have it. That's right from an embedded video that I have on my WordPress blog.
Okay, so I just need to put that in there identically as it is with the brackets.
That's how I have it.
Okay.
Well, the page I put the link for, I'm looking at it, and it says if you do the steps, then the YouTube video short code will then be inserted into your post. Publish the post, and the video will look like the one below, where it shows a YouTube
video
of Mr. Blue Sky. Sword Brethren.
Yeah.
Have you, you're a gun aficionado. Have you ever heard of a handgun with a safety on the firing pin?
Safety on the firing pin?
Yeah.
Firing pin shouldn't even be exposed.
No. There's a switch on the side that keeps the firing pin from slamming against the round. Yeah, from engaging.
Are you talking about a transfer bar? Are you talking about a transfer bar for, like, a single-action army? Because I sold him one, the Beretta Stampede. It's a Colt single-action army model, you know, the old, you know, the 1873, the gun that Custer and his men had, that revolver. And typically they would carry it against an empty chamber, and when they pulled the hammer back, it would cycle it to a full chamber, and you could fire, because there was nothing stopping the striker on the hammer, the firing pin which was on the hammer, from hitting, going forward and bumping and setting off a round, so you would carry it against an empty chamber.
All right, well, let's go back to what I got here. I picked up a Phoenix Arms .22 pistol today for $125. And it's got two safeties on it. I was only aware of one. Of course, it's got a normal safety. Mm-hmm. And I took it out and tried to fire it and couldn't get it to fire, and I couldn't figure out what the hell was going on. So I did a little research, and yeah, lo and behold, there's a little switch right up next to the rear sight, and it is a safety for the firing pin. And when I switched that off, yeah, it fired great.
Mm.
I had never heard of that contraption before. Thought maybe you had.
No. I've heard of the transfer bar issue, but a transfer bar is an internal thing that it disengages when you operate the hammer. It's just there so there's not an accidental discharge. You know, with the old style, like I said, the 1873, if you carried it fully loaded with six rounds in, the hammer would be resting against a full chamber, and if it was bumped,
right,
it would go forward, and the pin would be on the hammer, and it could strike it and fire it.
That's probably the same idea here.
So people would load one and then skip one and then load the other four and then have it resting against an empty. Son of the Mistress saying that it's a Phoenix revolver is a copy of an Arms Corps. And I think, unless I'm mistaken, Arms Corps, are they Filipino? Is Arms Corps a Filipino company?
No, I think so.
Also, I tried that embedded code, Bill, and I still did the preview, and it wasn't coming out, so I just went ahead and did the basic URL.
Oh!
Let me see if Arms Corporation of the Philippines. There's Arms Corps USA.
Did you get that through an ad with SOG?
Sorry, what?
Which ad did you send, and who sold it to you?
Oh, I bought it off from someone I know.
I think I'd like to become an importer, but someone said you first have to be an FFL, and it's a big hassle. But I'm having trouble getting some of the weapons I want. I'd like to be able to, you know, import 100, sell 95 of them, make some money, and keep 5 of them.
I didn't maintain it. I did not maintain any login information for your blog.
I can send it to you.
So you could type it to me.
All right. Just have to think what it is first. Give me a second. All right. It's going to be one of several things. I'll send it to you.
It's going to be one of several things. I should have maintained a password, but I didn't.
Well, my passwords are all usually I use one of 12 or one of 15 standard passwords based on a 2-to-3-word combination and a 1-to-2-number combination, and usually a random symbol. So my passwords aren't predictable per se, but I'm not going to forget them. You know, they're words that mean something to me, but it's not, you know, something stupid like a birthday or anything that someone could just look up. Something that would mean something to me, but you'd have to specifically know me to know what exactly it means to me. I think that's the information. Oh, I'm sorry, no, there. Okay. Did that work for you, Bill?
Well, give me a chance to try it here.
Someone wants to know, where's the blog with the moon rat?
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to call it a night, and I will see y'all later.
Take care. God bless you.
Oh, crap, I forgot to ask my dad fax my form to the ATF. I'm renewing my CNR 03FFL, and they want a certification of citizenship. They said, who was going to certify you're a U.S. citizen? So I had my dad write in there certifying my citizenship, and then they sent it back to me saying that you don't have someone else certify you're a citizen. You certify your own citizenship. And I thought, that's pretty stupid. They want me to say, yes, I'm a U.S. citizen, and then when they want me to have a witness certified, they want me to be my own witness. That's what they said in the paper, that they intend for me to certify my own citizenship. Isn't that pretty stupid, Bill?
Yes.
Like releasing prisoners on the honor system, saying, you know, instead of checking up with a parole officer, just don't go do anything stupid. Or just call us once every month and say, hey, I'm on the level. I mean, that would probably work in your case, but, you know, Tyrone and Juan, that they'd abuse that left and right, wouldn't they?
Well, you know, I had a hell of a time getting any kind of identification when I got out of prison. I had a hell of a time. It was like pulling teeth getting a Social Security card. It was like pulling teeth getting the identification to get a driver's license.
Right.
It took me 6 months to get a driver's license. And the first 3 months of that was getting the identification together.
Oops, that wasn't the stored password. Okay, here. Okay, crap, hold on.
Yeah, I'm not having any luck here at all.
All right. Crap. Hold on. Okay. Crap. And give me a second and I'll think of it. Crap. Okay, I figured out what the username is. Now I just have to remember the password. I got to check my email. I think you emailed me the information a while ago. I save all my emails. I got a lot of unread emails from a lot of people. I try and read them all, but I got almost 900 unread emails from Pastor Dan, you know, just his mass forwarding. So if it's a specific one directed to me, or it looks like it's something that he originated, I read it. But if it just says forward and it's something about Glenn Beck, I don't got time to read 50 emails a day, you know.
Oh, you know, that Glenn Beck video, the newer one, is pretty funny, though. He's, I'm sure he's going to get into some kind of trouble because he did mention, I got it off of YouTube, and he mentioned that, the United States has been turned into the planet of the apes.
I'm in your blog, Brian.
You got in?
Yeah, I got in with the original password I sent you that I asked you to change, and you never changed. I took a gamble that you never changed it.
Oh, that's okay. Can you message me that back? Since I logged out, I was using the Remember Me function. I need to change my login information. Oh, okay, yeah. Okay, I should have changed that.
Well, I just made up a password expecting you to change it, right?
I thought I did.
You should change it to something that you commonly use. But don't change it now, because I'm about to go editing on your post, right?
Oh, okay. I'll leave it alone then.
It just gets confusing when I'm a member on 10 or 11 forums, and I'm using different usernames on most of them since I don't want to be identified as Sword Brother and on gun-related forums because I'm not there for Sword Brother issues. I'm there to talk about guns and learn about guns, and then I'm on martial arts forums and survival forums, and I have different passwords on each because I'm using emails on each, and I have so many email accounts. You know, I have the email accounts for online gaming, the email accounts for just corresponding, email accounts for identity stuff, and then the email accounts for forums. If you sign up for a political board and, you know, I'm using Teutonic Crusaders at Yahoo.com, well, gee, people are going to say, hey, are you some kind of Nazi? You know, I got some Islamists messaging me occasionally, and I'm talking to them from Teutonic Crusaders, and they don't say anything about it. You know, we're just sitting back and forth bashing Jews for 2 hours, and they never ask, hey, why's your name Teutonic Crusaders?
Hmm. Yeah, they can't put two and two.
Well, I tell them I'm a Christian in the U.S. and I don't like the Jews. The Muslims aren't that productive, though, you know what I mean? They don't accomplish much with what they have, and they really have a lot of resources if you think about it. I mean, if we had the kind of money that those Saudi oil princes have, there's no telling what we could do.
Right. Well, we're never going to have it, so don't worry about it.
But we were told the gates of hell wouldn't prevail against us. And looking at the price of all these weapons today is kind of depressing. I almost wish I'd have come of age in 1975 or 1980 or something. Then I could have fought in Rhodesia, fought in South Africa, and still been around to buy all these weapons at bargain bottom prices. You ever wonder about that, Bill? What it would have been like to have lived 100 years ago?
Well, it probably would have been a lot better than living now. I mean,
better for us personally, and it would have been easier for us personally in terms of racialism and getting along with society. But, you know, we were put in this time for a reason, and that's what I often think when I talk to friends, and some of them lament that, oh, it's so hard, you can't find a woman at this day and age, you can't do this, you can't do that, a white man can't get a job, and it would have been so easier if we could have just lived 100 years ago, lived our lives, and been dead by now. And, well, I figure that we were put here to be serious contenders. I mean, serious times call for serious, hard people.
Right. You know, this is the same exact code that I have to embed a YouTube video on my blog. Hmm. I'm going to send you the link. You can see I'm not cracking up.
Do you know much about SQL?
Check that out. Check that post out. And I have a YouTube video right at the bottom of it. I'm using the same exact code to put this video on your blog, and it ain't coming out for some really strange reason.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I know why it ain't coming out. I got it now. It's been so long since I messed with WordPress that I just forget the tricks. So work. Blank. So let's try this again. It will work. See, the default for my blog is HTML and not the
HTML is pretty easy, right? If I put my mind to it, I could learn it in a few weekends.
You could learn the basics in a couple of days.
Oh, we were talking about boating earlier, kayaks. I ran my cousin, who has a kayak. He said that you don't have to get it licensed or registered, but they ask that you slap some kind of identifying numbers on there, some kind of tag that's hard to remove just for theft purposes. He said that just so they can identify your boat if they see it in the water, if there's any kind of theft, but you don't have to go pay a fee and register it with the county like my dad thought. That'd be crazy if you had to register a canoe.
It's just not recognizing this tag. Crazy.
Hmm. Around the time I started my Comadiverse show, maybe about a year afterwards, Stormfront started a Stormfront radio program called From Babylon, which they basically bill as a dramatic Jerry Springer-type fun show. I think that's a jab at mine, since I've brought up how secular and pathetic they are.
I don't know. Stormfront, they do a lot of goofy things, right? Maybe they're trying to be the Walmart of white nationalism.
They're a big tent. Everyone's welcome. All the perverts and losers.
Yeah, Stormfront's basically down the tubes. I have nothing for it at all.
I got into a huge spat with a loser there who said that, I think he said he was like 14 and he lost his virginity to his best friend's mother, who was 40, and he's like 38 now, no worse for it, and if he came across some 15-year-old girl who wanted to go with him, that'd be fine, but the state says it's not, and I basically said that he's a disgusting pervert who needs to keep his you-know-what in his pants, and I wouldn't let a loser like him anywhere near any female that I care about.
Well, right. Just because it happened to him doesn't mean that he should approve of it and corrupt the next youth that comes along. That's crazy.
And then
that's a real sick attitude. He may as well be a Jew.
We have no right to shove our Judeo-Christian morality on him, and that sex has been going on with white people for decades, blah, 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 millennia, and all this and that, and get with the times and modernism. And just like you said, the idiots back in Rome and Greece were practicing perversion and calling it progressive.
Right. He has no right to be living in our communities around our children with that attitude. That's where we have to draw. And that's where Christians failed, by putting up with sin. Good night. Good night, Joe.
Good night. It's not that the preacher or the preacher's wife are sinners. In some cases they are, but they tolerate the sinners. They say, oh, so-and-so's a pedophile, but he spent 5 years in prison. He's done his time. He's paid his debt. Well, Scripture doesn't say so. Scripture says
different.
Right. He's not fit to live amongst us.
Nope, not at all.
And they'd call you an evil racist hater and say that, oh, you should be in prison. You should be locked away forever because you hate your fellow man. They pat the pedophile on the head and invite him over and say, hey, there's a scout meeting next week. Would you like to attend? You can supervise the scout meeting.
You know, it's really weird. The control is, the embed is working in the editor, and it's not coming out on the page. It's a big blank space.
Yikes.
Yeah, you got to go back to that page that Victor pasted in and follow the instructions.
All right, I got to find that darn link again. I'm thinking of something Paul Fromm told me at a meeting, because he comes into the Cleveland area a lot, and usually every time he's around, I go visit with him, get some, you know, literature, donate whatever I can, and I drag my friend along. And before I was 21 and couldn't carry, my dad would come along just for security. The ARA would show up two or three. They never tried anything, and lucky for them, because most of the people in the conference room were packing. So we're at a meeting here, and he's talking about a soap opera he remembered maybe 10 years ago, where a mixed-race couple moves into town, and someone paints a swastika on their door, and their windows are broken, and their cars, you know, destroyed and vandalized, and everybody in town unites behind them. The drunk, the ex-con released from prison, the homeless bum, the dope dealer on the street corner, everyone unites to support the race-mixed couple and find out who this Nazi is and chase him out of town. And the message is clear. If you're a racialist who doesn't like race mixing, you're worse than the town drunk, the vagrant, the homeless bum who won't work, the ex-con who's out of prison for rape and burglary, the dope dealer on the street corner, and the members of the local youth gang. The message is clear. Being a racist is the worst thing possible. You come out of prison, people ask you, what were you in prison for? Oh, I was in prison because I touched a kid. Oh, that's horrible. You come out of prison, what were you in for? I got into a fight with a nigger, and I called him a nigger, so they called it a hate crime. You evil racist, hate monger, you should go back into prison. Drop dead. You know what I mean? The Jews have stigmatized racialism to an extent that not even pedophilia is stigmatized. There's no organization trying to legitimize hate crimes, you know, the National Association for Hate Crime Legalization, like they have for pedophilia. They call it man-boy love.
Right. It's absolutely disgusting. It's very incremental attack on society.
Mm-hmm.
That they have been chipping away at our moral structure. Until total, finally, there will be no moral structure.
Absolutely. You know, I think it's in Denmark, they're now telling 10-year-old kids how they use condoms and giving them demonstrations. And in one school in Massachusetts, they talk to kindergartners about the joys of anal fisting and homosexual sex, and they told one kid not to knock it till he'd try it. And I said, well, the same could be said about suicide. And I would tell those people, hey, have you ever thought about suicide? And then the fag would say no. And I'd say, well, don't knock it till you try it. Here's a Harry Carey dagger. Go break it in. Then they actually handed out a how-to book to first graders in a suburb of Boston on gay sex. How to have gay sex, you know, the positions and the actual techniques. And then they said it was an accident. They didn't mean to do it. They accidentally handed it out. Well, if I accidentally handed them out copies of your literature or copies of Mein Kampf, would the school accept that? All right. Have you logged out of my blog? Can I log back in and change my info? No?
Yeah, let me see this. I think I...
Okay.
This is weird. I think I did the same thing you did. And they're saying it should show up. And I followed the stupid directions. It's simple enough.
Okay. I was reading about some career day. They had a career day in a junior high school. Some 13-year-old girl was sitting in a career center room, conference room with a bunch of other students, and some guy comes in and he says to her, you know, a girl with knockers like yours can make $300 or $400 a night easily as a stripper. And the parents, you know, I mean, if someone said that to your 13 or 14-year-old daughter, wouldn't you pummel the guy senseless?
Oh, definitely.
And the school allowed this to go on. Were I the teacher, I would have said that a man, you know, leave this room immediately or the paramedics will be carrying you out of the room.
Right.
Are you threatening me? No, I'm giving you two options. Pick one of them. I'm not threatening you. I'm helping you exercise your democratic rights.
You know, these instructions for inserting this embedding this URL into this page, that they only produce the same exact result you already had.
Yes. So, bottom line, it's not going to happen.
It's strange, but I'm going to find out why.
Okay. You know, Boxer and I were talking earlier about the people that say, only God will judge me, and my quip would be, yeah, and I'm here to make sure you keep your appointment with him. He's got a night 8 o'clock tomorrow for you.
Don't mess with your blog. I'm going to update it right now. There's new software that's WordPress is usually a pretty smooth update, but don't blow it up. I said usually. Yeah.
So many parents today, they do nothing. They just rant and rave, oh, you can't do that. I'm going to do this, blah, blah, blah. Every time the school called my dad in and said, your son did this, your son did that, your son was doing something political that we don't like, we're going to do this to him, we're going to do that, we're going to recommend him for expulsion, my dad would say, fine, I'll see you in court. And then they'd immediately say, whoa, 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 calm down, sir. I'm sure we can talk about this. I had to threaten to sue teachers left and right. Crazy progressive liberal communist ones. 90% of my teachers adored me since I answered all the questions that they asked. I did all my homework. I did all my essays. I did well on all my tests. I'd stick around and chat with them about the subject they were teaching because I was genuinely interested in it. I helped out in class, and I basically minded my own business, and aside from telling a lot of jokes and turning movie day into Mystery Science Theater 2000 or 3000 day, you know, making fun of the movie, that whatever movie we had to watch, they all liked me.
Hmm.
You know, I got suspended probably 60 days from 8th grade to 12th grade, but I still got a 3.65 cumulative because all my teachers let me make up my work for credit, where the school says when you're suspended, you don't get credit. And my teachers all said, you were suspended, weren't you? And I said, yeah. And I said, can I make up my work for credit? And they'd all say, yeah, get on it. And I'd say, it's already done. I thought you'd give me the credit, so I did it already. Or they would just ask me, you know, what was it this time, since they knew I got suspended a lot for political reasons.
How do you get suspended for political reasons? What do they do?
Well, I passed out Klan flyers in the lunchroom. That got me a few days.
What do the flyers have on it?
They're urging homosexuals to repent and abandon their abominable lifestyle, and another one talking about black quotes about killing Whitey and how white people should consider Black History Month an affront.
Oh my goodness! You know, and when when I went to school, there was no homosexuals. If they were there, they were dead.
Mm-hmm.
That was just the way it was.
We had a lot of open flamers. You know, they'd have earrings in both ears. They'd look like an emu, or they'd dye part of their hair blue and part of their hair pink, and they'd wear the Hawaiian shirts, the sandals with socks, and they'd walk around limp wristed. Oh, I love what you've done with your hair.
Yeah, this is the new school system.
Basically, and one of them I got, I think, 10 days out. I was at an awards ceremony getting an award. I wasn't getting an attendance award since my attendance was lacking due to being suspended. I was getting a number of academic awards. I got the Principal's Award for GPA, and then I got the AP U.S. History Award out of 120 history kids. The teacher picked me as the most dedicated and studious history student of all her classes. And there was a Negro there getting an attendance award. He was the class president, despite the fact that we had 20 Negroes out of 3,000 students. He had his buddies stuff the ballots the year before, so he won the election, but 300 more votes were cast than students. And I saw what was going on since I was helping oversee the elections for the freshmen or the sophomores, I forget who, but I was helping oversee the elections for another grade, and I saw that the elections for my class were being rigged as people were stuffing the ballots. You know, Jamal and Tyrone are circling around the ballot box and stuffing in paper after paper after paper, and I'm wondering, why is this being allowed to go on? I spoke out about it and caused a big stink. The NAACP got involved. I threatened to call in the Klan. The school was basically ready to explode. But anyway, this kid's getting his award. And when he goes up there for his attendance award, people are smiling at him, and a few people wave. And I just
out of nowhere, I just shout in the assembly hall with about 500 other people in there, "What's that? You're only getting one award. You better call the NAACP." And half the people, it just became so silent you could hear a pin drop, and then maybe about 100-plus people broke out laughing uncontrollably, and a few people gasped and muted. "Did he just say that?"
That's pretty funny. That's classic.
But I figured, hey, you know, that nigger had the nerve to go on TV with his father, some black preacher. His father put his arm around him. "My son just want a fair deal, like all them white kids. If them white kids ain't ready to accept a black boy as class president, then I don't know. This is supposed to be America 2003, not Mississippi in 1920. And they were trying to bill it as racism and hatred and bigotry. And I saw them stuff the ballots. I saw what happened. The person who was taking the votes went to go get her meal. Basically, she was a liberal leftist. She gave the wink, wink, nod, nod. And all, you know, half of the blacks in the school, 10 of them, circled around the box and started stuffing it with vote after vote. They wanted to do a recount. The blacks protested, said no recount. They wanted to do a revote. The blacks said, hell no, no revote, or we're going to sue. So they settled on a recount. They did a recount. And whenever anybody in our school votes, you have to show student ID. You only get to vote for the class you're in. So I was voting for the class of 2004 since I was a junior at the time. So I show my ID. They let me vote, and I have to sign my name, and they write me off. Well, they counted, I think, 300 more votes for the junior class than there were juniors. And not all juniors voted anyway because not all names were signed off. And they asked me to fill out a witness statement, what I'd seen. I said that I was helping oversee the 10th grade elections. I noticed that the person for the 11th grade elections, my grade, walked away to go get their lunch, abandoning their post effectively, at which time about 10 black individuals formed a circle around the box and began stuffing papers in it, and it was clear to me that they were stuffing the box. And about a day or two after I gave my statement, a note was left on my car saying, "We're going to kill your honky white ass. We're going to get you, boy. You know, your ass is toast if you keep talking about the elections." So I put on a pair of gloves, picked it up, put it in a bag, took it home, made two or three copies of it. Then I took it into the school and I said, "This death threat note was left on my car." I said, I was careful to make sure I didn't contaminate any prints that might have been left on it, but you need to get the FBI in here and the police." And the school said, "Well, we can't help you. You'll have to go fill out a police report on your own. This is a police matter, not a school matter." And I said, "Well, somebody left this on my car, which was parked on school property. This is a school matter." And they said, "Well, why don't you give us the note and we'll look into it." So I gave them a copy of the note. I kept the original. Then a week later, I came back in and I asked them how the investigation was going, and they said, "What investigation?" And I said, "The note I gave you." And they said, "What note are you talking about?" And I said, "The threat note." And they said, "I don't recall you ever giving me a threat note." And I said, "Oh, I see how it is." So then I made some calls to the Klan, and they were going to hold a rally outside on the school, you know, on the sidewalk in front of the school. But I picked a fly-by-night one because I was only 17 and didn't know better, and they were unreliable, and it was like a four-man outfit, and they never showed. But kids were really ready for it. A bunch of kids, several dozen, said if the Klan rallied there, they'd sign up that instant. And one kid told some race-mixing white trash whore girl that was speaking out in favor of the blacks, they said to her that if she didn't shut her race-mixing mouth, they'd burn a cross in her yard. And at one point, there were some people ready to duke it out. There were, I think, a number of fights over the issue. The NAACP did get involved. They did threaten to sue. And the school basically declared everyone a winner. If you ran for class president of the junior class, you became a co-president. We had two official presidents, the white kid who actually won, the black kid who rigged the election to wrongfully win. They were the co-presidents, the senior co-presidents, and everyone else was an assistant co-president. So effectively, we had six or seven class presidents that year.
Yeah, see, I think that what's going to end up happening with these situations like this is the whites are just going to eventually pull out of the whole damn thing, and it's just going to fall apart. When there's no whites in the school, they're just going to have a jungle again.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's a 98% white city, and the school's the largest in the state, and there were 3,000 kids in the school, and only 20 blacks, and the blacks still got their way, basically. And the year before, I ran for class president.
But you got the Jews giving them the power to do that. I mean, there's no way that a monkey's going to win.
But, you know, the year before, I ran for class president, and most people knew my views, and I came in second out of eight.
Okay.
But someone told me that was just because a lot of people thought it'd be funny if I won, and they wanted to see if I was going to give a Sieg Heil salute at my acceptance speech. Somebody defaced all my campaign posters so that I knew who it was. He drew swastikas on all of them, and the school took them down. And I said, well, you're taking them down. I'm not getting exposure. And they said, well, there's a hate sign on them. We have to take them down. And I said, well, why am I getting punished and having to pay for someone defacing my poster? And I can tell you who it is. A professor saw him do it and just yelled at him and told him to stop doing it. I know who's doing it. And it's the same kid who he threw a water bottle at me once. He then spat in my face. Right as the buses were coming in 11th grade, he spat in my face because he didn't like the steel-toed boots I was wearing. And we were right in front of the grade principal when it happened, not the building principal, but each grade had its own principal. He spat in my face and ran, and I was chasing him down. I was about 2 feet behind him. He jumped on a bus right as the bus closed its door, so I couldn't get him. And then about a week later, he came storming into my English classroom and shouted, "Nazi punks, fuck off." And I jumped out of my seat, chased him down the hall, and he ran right to the principal's office screaming, "Help, help, help." Even though he had his friend with him who had been waiting in the hall, they both ran for me. I screamed, you know, at him, "You communists, you know what, I'll take you both right now. Let's go, both of you right now." And I ended up, they got 3 days out of school suspension for interrupting the class and for basically being belligerent. I got 2 days of in-school suspension for being combative and trying to instigate a fight. And I said, well, they walked in my classroom while I'm sitting there writing and just started yelling at me. And then that kid basically left me alone because one day I got out of school early and he caught wind that I was driving around asking which way he walks home and, you know, what his route was. And someone said, you know, oh, Brian's waiting for you. And somebody then told him that he thought I had a knife and that I was waiting to get him. But he never did fight me. Even when he had his one friend with him, these two limp-wristed leftists that they were, I'd call them both out. I said to him, I'll take you both right now. Let's go. Let's do this right here. And they ran. They ran to the principal's office.
But who were these, whites or Jews?
I don't know what kind of name Chantry was. His last name was Chantry, Mike Chantry. And then his friend who had lazy eye, I called him Cyclops, because he had lazy eye for 3 years straight. His eye would just be all over the place, his one eye. He only had one good eye. The other eye, sometimes he's looking up in the sky, sometimes he's looking at the ground, but he's never looking straight at you. You know, he'd have both eyes. He's like a hammerhead shark looking in different directions. So I called him Cyclops. They were ARA types. Anarchists, those kind of, you know, the punk types.
You know what your election sounds like, though? It sounds like that Shirley Sherrod.
Hmm.
Where she had awarded, I guess, 50,000, I don't remember how many, it was a lot of checks to black farmers that didn't even exist.
Yeah. That election at our school, though, it was really an embarrassment.
That's the kind of stuff that goes on all the time. I remember other things. Not that particular racist stuff, but even at my high school, that we had some stuff that was ended up being a popularity contest. You had to question the results because there was no way that the individual could have won. It was rigged.
And you know, too, if I would have left a threatening note on some black kid's car, you know, like they left one of mine, honky this, whitey that, if I said, you know, nigger coon, we're going to lynch you, blah, 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 that they would have taken the original note, brought in the FBI, the dust for prints, and sealed off the scene.
Yeah, I find it fascinating what you know, there was a different set of rules when I went to high school. I find it fascinating you got to put up with that crap. I mean, no one would have, we had a small minority of blacks in my high school, but I'll tell you what, at that time, there wasn't one chance in hell that any one of those blacks would have said anything against a white student because he'd have got the shit kicked out of him. Wouldn't have happened. No black would have
ever. A lot of the white people, they were just out for themselves. A lot of the white kids didn't care if some other white kid was getting shoved over. And while there were only 20 blacks, you know, 8 or 10 of them would stick together and walk around together.
Completely different world. It's amazing.
Plus, there were a lot of wiggers. I'd say 1 out of 3 kids in the high school was a wigger.
Well, that's because they're watching television. That just didn't exist, you know, in the late 70s.
Mm-hmm. You know, one day leaving school, I put Johnny Rebel, Nigger Hating Me on as loud as I could in the parking lot and rolled down my windows. And I think it was either a city police that worked at the school, because we had several uniformed police and about a dozen unarmed security. And then we had a full-time armed city detective in there. He came out and said to turn that racket down or I'd get a noise citation. And I said, well, it's no louder than all these people with the fancy sound systems and their Tupac and their Snoop Dogg and their rap crap, grab your crotch, nigger shit.
What did he say?
He just said, we're not going to go there, turn it down. Well, I mean, hey, if Snoop Dogg can say nigger this and nigger that, why can't Johnny Rebel say nigger this and nigger that?
Double standard. Hey, so I still haven't seen this blog. Is Bill working on it or something?
Oh, I thought he posted a link.
Oh, I don't know.
No, it won't work. I went through the WordPress directions twice, and it just won't work. So I'm installing a plugin right now to embed video.
Oh, also, that Negro who stole the election, he was always late to class. In this one class I heard about, he'd be 5, 6, 7 minutes late. And the teacher would say, you need to stop coming in late. I'm going to give you a detention the next time you're late. And he would shout, you're just a racist. You just don't like me because I'm black. If I was white, you'd cut me some slack. And he said, I cut you slack. You're late every day. And then when it came time for them to pick a person to do an essay on, they were doing class essays. They were given a list of, I think, 20 or 30 historical figures from European history. And he shouted, I don't want to have to do nothing on Beethoven. I want to write about Martin Luther King. Why ain't he on this list? And the teacher said, because this is a list of Europeans for European history. And he said, you're just a racist. I want to write about Martin Luther King. And the teacher finally just let him write about Martin Luther King.
Yeah, I'd have let him write about Martin Luther King, too. And then I would have gave him a zero. And said, "When you idiot, it's not from European history.
But you told me."
Or I'd say you failed to mention that Martin Luther King was a communist who used church funds to hire prostitutes.
Another instrument of the Jew.
Isn't it pretty shameful that white people accept them as preachers?
I'm astonished at what's going on. I can't believe it at this point. I mean, it is so blatant. Even if you're not religious in any way, I don't understand how you cannot figure out that these people are monkeys.
The good Reverend Jesse Jackson.
It's astonishing to me. I mean, yeah, there are some blacks that have enough white blood in them that they act reasonable. So you don't know what you're going to get out when you end up having a bastard.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, the majority of these creatures, they're freaking monkeys. They belong in the jungle.
I wish all of them would convert to Islam. That way, it would lessen their ability to integrate into white society and gain acceptance by whites. Less whites would accept them.
The whites have got to be in a position of just complete stupidity because to allow this. I mean, I talk to a lot of part of my family's from the South. So the Southerners hate the blacks. I haven't seen too many Southerners that go along with blacks. But I'll tell you what.
A lot of them, you know, they convert to some sort of evangelical Christianity, and then the next thing you know, they get hooked up with a white woman by their church.
Well, that's
you should go date, you know, DeMonte. He's a nice Christian man. He's a brother in Christ.
That's the worst. That's the worst I see is the churches. The churches are the absolute pit. And you know that Babylon, that this whole thing, in order for it to take place, it's going to be our people that get punished.
Absolutely.
And it's going to be worse because I don't see the churches converting at all. They're just digging in even stronger. They still
absolutely
repent of this race mixing.
I met a buddy, made a friend at a Council of Conservative Citizen conference, and he said he had a friend. They're no longer friends anymore after this argument they had. He was a evangelical Baptist, real big into baptism. And he let a Negro start dating his white daughter. And he took this buddy aside and said, you know, that's not going to end well. He's a nigger. You don't want your daughter dating a nigger. And he said, he's a brother in Christ. And he said, well, that could end tomorrow. He said, he's a member of my church, and he's going to be a member of my church. Well, long story short, he knocks up the white hoe. Then he leaves Mississippi, runs off to Detroit, and last anyone heard, he joined Nation of Islam. So my friend takes this guy aside and says, well, you know, he was a Christian for a week. Your grandchildren are going to be niggers forever. And that was the end of their friendship. He didn't want to remain friends with them after he told him that.
Yeah, that's great. That's a good one.
All right, your video plugin works, Brian. You got a new plugin program to add videos to your blog.
Excellent.
You do it in visual mode, not in HTML mode, and you'll see a little TV on the toolbar. You hit the TV.
Okay.
You can it'll give you plugins from many different services, right?
Can I log in
YouTube
now?
Yeah, YouTube, Google. We could both be logged in at once. MySpace, okay. Dailymotion, Rever. There's a whole bunch of services it'll give you plugins from.
All right. All I got to do is hit the TV and enter in the info.
Yeah. It doesn't want a link. It wants a video ID, which is only that part of the YouTube link with all the letters and numbers, right?
After the equal sign.
Well, after the equal sign, but also before the stupid instructions, too.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a bunch of, yeah, you want the watch, question mark, V equals, and then there's a series of letters and numbers. That's all you want. are those letters and numbers. You put that part of the URL in and leave out all the other stuff.
Okay, yeah. Excellent.
Yeah, you could look at the way this one is done and figure it out, right?
Okay. And, you know, that's the truth, too, what he said to that guy, that, well, your black brother in Christ was a Christian for a week, your grandchildren are niggers forever.
Well, the girl's ruined. Who the hell's going to want somebody that had sex with a monkey?
And now she has a kid by him.
She should just be killed.
She should go off and die.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see here. Now I got an error on page...
What you need is a bigger font here in this... How the hell do you increase the font size in WordPress? WordPress just sucks. I'm sorry. It's terrible. I'm so spoiled by Drupal that WordPress is terrible. Oh, shit. Sorry, Stephen. I've been here for hours playing with his blog and never saw you wanted to talk. I should shut this recording off. I mean, we're not getting anything... I mean, the conversation's been good, but we're not really getting anything accomplished, right?
Oh, crap, we're recording.
Oh, boy, we're going to send that to your back to your high school there.
If I knew we were recording, I'd have watched my language.
Be yourself now. Be yourself.
And I probably would have said less about my high school.
Well, that's okay. You overcame your programming. That's all that counts.
I just had Word crash, which in the middle
Microsoft
of making
Word.
Yeah, in the middle of making a PDF, and I can't figure out what in the hell is inside the document that is screwing me up here. Got to be some control character embedded here by accident. Figures.
Okay, so you're
going to make the PDF.
What's that?
So, Bill, you just did YouTube information, no link bracket.
Well, basically, that plugin that I added, yeah, you know, that made the tag.
Okay, excellent.
I just pick YouTube from a list and put the ID of the video into the box. That's it. It's pretty simple. I use a program called Desk PDF that makes PDFs that's pretty good if you're just making quick PDFs with standard fonts. If I'm making books with non-standard fonts, I got to get Adobe PDF that tells me that the problems with the PDF, which Desk PDF was not doing.
Bathroom break for me. I'll be right back.
Okay, I'm going to end this recording at least. I mean, 4 hours is long enough, and this is another long, drawn-out, probably half a time wasted Chris Degenio Open Forum program. Thank you.